and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
I don't even know what to say. There's so much to say. How about good morning? It's Wednesday, the middle of the week. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley over here.
Good morning.
I was covering the Democratic National Convention from my couch in Queens, like most of the week, covering it. I'm right there. I'm right there with the people.
Me too.
On my couch in Queens, jumping up and down, for Barack Obama.
He turned it out, didn't he?
Dude, man, he starts slow and then bam, closes big. I'm like, wow, he's present. He's looking right at me. He's speaking to me. My heart's starting to, you know, kind of, you know, jump around a little bit. And then I'm wondering, like, where's he, you know, is he just going to level off? What's he? And then bam, bam, boom, 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 big close, man. I'm crying. I'm like, I'm happy to be American. I'm happy to be black. I mean,
we're going to hear from Barack Obama a little bit later on.
He's calling us?
No, I wish he was. Actually, we are going to hear from him before the election, even though at this point, you know, I don't even think he has an opponent. I think he's running unopposed.
Oh, no, he's going to win. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. Now, even as we speak, there are those who are preparing to divide us, the spin masters and negative ad peddlers who embrace the politics of anything goes. Man, I feel big even saying it. I'm starting to cry, and I'm doing it. Look at me. I'm tearing up when I'm just saying Obama's words. Hey.
It was him and Kerry. Him and Teresa Hines Kerry.
Yeah, I think that Howard Dean's still got a little sour grapes going on. And I think that, like, look, you know, Michael Moore should just, you know, step aside a little bit, fat man. Step aside. Let the professionals handle this. Michael Moore's up in everyone's, you know, face. You know, Michael Moore's great. He did his part. You know, he made his $100 million. We all get it. We all appreciate what you did. But step aside and let the politicians take a little. You know what I mean? Howard Dean was up there. He did all right, but I sense a little sour grapes. I sense he wasn't fully on his game.
Now, when you say step aside as far as my, you mean step aside as far as being a pundit is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, I had a problem with the way he was looking at Bill Clinton. I have a problem with it.
How was he looking at Bill Clinton?
Like, sort of like, you know, what do you got? What do you got, man? I do, you know what I mean? It's me now, man. I changed the culture. I did it. Me, Michael Moore. I rose awareness. I elevated the cause. You know, he had a little attitude, I think, a little attitude.
Well, and, you know, he's being asked to be on virtually every television. There, what are there, 15,000 media?
I have not asked him to do anything for me.
Well, we're here.
We are?
Yeah.
Why do you got to keep bringing this down, man? And here I was, excited to be part of the Democratic National Convention. I'm on my couch watching my T-Vote coverage at 2:30 in the morning, trying to feel like I'm part of the bigger picture of the Democratic movement.
You want to feel a bigger picture, bigger part of the Democratic movement? Get yourself some cold cuts and some rolls and some mayonnaise. Spread them out in your house and pretend you're going to the dinner buffet up in the Fleet Center.
Riley and the food.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what's all about, the food. But, oh, I don't want to just dump on Michael Moore. He did a great thing. But I will dump on Tucker Carlson and Brent Bovell.
Bozell.
That dude has got to go. Why does CNN put him on? You know what? Look. I saw the movie Outfoxed. I saw it, you know, and even if the facts are you know, put together in a weird way, we are entitled to our counter propaganda. And the truth of the matter is like Michael Moore, you know, Outfoxed, Greenwald and Company. Is that his name? It's Greenwald, right? Look, man, it's got to be put out there, because all these dudes do is just throw their propaganda in your face, and they are just lying, bitter, petty, skeevy bastards. Tucker Carlson is a bastard. He's just there to buzzkill. It's like, why does CNN even have him at the convention? Why don't they get all of them out of the way? Wolf Blitzer, all of them, get out of the way. Just let the politicians talk. Let us make our own mind up. They don't report on news. They are jealous when they are not in the limelight. They are making themselves the news. And it's like, first of all, it's like they're only getting the way of my reaction to my politicians talking directly to me. They just get in the way. I mean, who the hell is Wolf Blitzer?
Why do you think they're getting in the way?
Because they are. They're sitting right there.
No, like, but why are they getting in the way?
Because they make it all about them. It's all about entertainment.
Why do they get in the way? Because they're getting paid to get in your way. That's why they're getting in the way.
Right, because it's not about news anymore. It's about their personalities over what is supposed to be the news. And I'm just trying to sit there and listen to my candidates. All right, listening to my nominees, listening to my Democratic ideologues talk to me, make a case for my passion in their direction, and then, like, you know, little stupid bearded Wolf Blitzer gets in the way with his half a beard, all right, and then Tucker Carlson gets in the way with his negativity, pessimistic, narrow-minded, you know, bow-tied BS about, you know, about how great it is to be a Republican. And then Mo Rocca gets in the way with his stupid blazer and his dumb, pithy comments about nothing. They're not even pithy. They're just these stupid references about the history of what? What does that guy do? What is Mo Rocca do?
All these people, 15,000 of them, are being paid to cover this convention.
Does anyone like Robert Novak, Mark Riley? Does anybody like that guy? What is that little job?
I don't even know if Mrs. Novak likes
Robert Novak. False teeth looking snide bastard doing on television.
The thing you got to understand about Robert Novak, I've seen Robert Novak in two different places where I was utterly shocked to see him. One was at a party for Bill Bradley during the 1996 convention, Democratic convention in Chicago. Now, Robert Novak has never said a good word about Bill Bradley, but here he was at Michael Jordan's partying with the likes of Cornel West and a bunch of other people celebrating Bill Bradley. By the way, Phil Jackson was at that particular party. I think he was still coaching the Bulls. Then I saw him at the White House at a Christmas dinner that Bill Clinton, then President Clinton gave, that I inexplicably got an invitation to. And I'm looking at the receiving line, and here's Robert Novak and Cindy Adams, the columnist for
the New York Post.
I'm saying, wait a minute. Robert Novak hates Bill Clinton. What is he doing standing in line waiting to shake this man's hand who he hates?
Because it's just his job. It's his business.
They are all financially interdependent on each other. The punditocracy. These pundits, they've created their own industry.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is get them out of the way because they're ruining everything.
The only way you get them out of the way is to stop watching them, and that may be happening because the ratings are down.
There's no journalism in it, you know, and it's like, I'm not dumping on Michael Moore. It's just like everybody step aside and let our politicians speak the way they want to speak without judgment, without criticism right away. Let the American people absorb what they are presenting to us. I understand, they make it all about them, and they are not the politicians. They are you know what they are? They're parasites.
Ask yourself this question.
What?
Did you need anybody to explain to you what Barack Obama said last night?
No.
Teresa Hines Carey.
It went right into my head.
Howard Dean.
There was a portion of Teresa Hines Carey where it was in another language, which I found challenging. But I appreciated the fact that she knew more than one language. And I said, well, that's very democratic, her and her two or three languages. I appreciate that. I don't know what she's saying. I felt alienated for a few minutes. And then she came back and she started talking about herself again. And then I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting. She's talking about herself. And then, like, she kept talking about herself. And, you know, it was still pretty interesting. And I like her. She was soft-spoken.
Well, she was soft-spoken, but she did make a case for being an opinionated woman. Let's hear Teresa Hines Carey live at the at the Democratic Convention. Live right now. I think I'm in Boston. Here she is.
My right to speak my mind, to have a voice, to be what some have called opinionated. Is the right I deeply and profoundly cherish. And my only hope is that one day soon, women who have all earned their right to their opinions, instead of being called opinionated, will be called smart and well-informed, just like men.
And if you don't like that, you can shove it.
There you go. Where did she get this thing, you know, being smart just like men? I mean,
she's smarter than men. I tell you one thing about this convention, and one thing, you know, when the pundits get out of the way, when I have to look at, you know, Robert Novak or Tucker Carlson or Wolf Blitzer's dumb mug or Mo Rocca's dumb mug, you know, when I can just listen to the politicians speak, is that there's a tremendous amount of intelligence on all the speakers that is just... It's very impressive. There's intelligence, there's passion, there's authenticity. I can't even imagine. The Republicans got nothing.
Well, they got nothing to match what we saw from Barack Obama last night. Even they admit that. But I'm wondering, first of all, you know C-SPAN is for you. Right. So C-SPAN doesn't really have any commentators on that.
I just had a weird moment where I realized, like, oh, my God, I'm doing exactly what those guys do for a living.
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
Except I'm on radio, and you don't have to look at me, and we can talk longer.
Yeah.
And we can also... Are we doing
are we part of the punditocracy? I hope not. Maron.
I don't know enough to be a pundit.
I'm beginning to have the Democratic National Convention withdrawal blues.
Are you?
My wife has been arguing with me all week, saying that, you know, you're really upset you're not up there, right? No, I'm not upset. No, yes, you're upset you're not up there. You know you've been covering these things for a long time, and you are upset that you are not up there. And I keep trying to say, no, I'm not really. But in a way... my competitive instincts say really, because, you know, there's something to be said for being able to grab like 15, 20 people that you really want to interview and interviewing them all.
Yeah,
like in one right after
15,
the other.
15, 20 people at 6 in the morning when there's nearly nobody.
That's the challenge.
It's just me and Riley in the Fleet Center by ourselves watching the janitors setting up the chairs. This is great, isn't it, Mark?
No. The trick is to be at a hotel, not to be in the Fleet Center.
I hear you.
To do a show like this, we'd have to be in one of the delegation hotels. That way you catch people bleary-eyed on their way to the breakfast buffet.
Well, that's just... it's just, we have to understand something, Mark. We are not a priority for this network. And we'll be right back on air, with some Barack Obama on Air America Radio.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the T-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
This week at MotherJones.com. Party favors. New campaign finance laws haven't stopped big lobbying firms from throwing extravagant parties at this year's political conventions. The thing is out of control, says one prominent Politico. Find out who's throwing the parties and what they want in return only at MotherJones.com. Every week on MotherJones.com, you'll find exclusive reports and timely pointers to the best of the independent web, plus online access to 3 decades of Mother Jones investigative reporting. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
The Wall Street Journal describes him as the biggest star in the music world. The San Francisco Chronicle considers him to be the most compelling music icon of his generation. And Sirius Satellite Radio says, well, Sirius says, we got him.
Eminem, multi-platinum recording artist Eminem, along with Shady and Interscope Records, are coming to Sirius. Catch one of the most controversial rappers of our time as he brings the streets to satellite.
Uncensored.
Coming this fall.
This is your Icicle Insight on the environment.
Russell Tramike asked the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Well, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
Here we are. Hold on. Here we are. It's Mark Riley, Mark Maron. We're at the Fleet Center in Boston. And we're waiting around. We're hoping that pretty soon somebody will come around and we can Maybe get an interview.
Congressman?
Hello.
Senator?
Hey, wait, there's somebody. Hey,
Assemblyman?
Can you bring that broom over here? I think we spilled some on the floor a little bit.
Councilman?
Can we help you set up chairs?
Is custodian?
Can we help you hand out signs with everyone with the same name on it so it looks spontaneous when everybody holds up the same sign?
Hey, this place doesn't look the same as it does at night, does it?
It's weird, man. I feel all alone here.
Well.
That was a good moment. Really. So we are covering the Democratic National Convention from here in New York City. And
a blanket.
I hope to God they're not handing out. Like, obviously they're handing out signs that all say, you know, whoever's name, Obama or
Teresa.
Everyone gets the same sign. But I hope to God they're not handing out the hand-drawn ones, too.
Right.
They're not that devious about it. Like, you know, we selected you to hold the hand-painted one. I bet you they did, man.
No, you know what they do? Let me explain to you what they do. Each delegation has people that actually run the delegation.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide in advance, well before they ever get to the Fleet Center, who's going to hold the different banners, how long they're going to hold the different banners, who's going to hold which on what nights. They're going to have a bunch of people that'll hold the Kerry Edwards. It's mm-hmm. all very, very organized. It's all done with an eye for the television cameras, obviously not for the radio microphone,
right.
But for the television cameras, it's done to project a particular image. Now, never mind the fact that fewer and fewer people are watching. You know what I think is happening, Mark? I think more people are coming to the same conclusion that you are,
yeah.
And that is they don't want people stepping between them while this stuff is going on. They want to be able to hear it for themselves, interpret it for themselves. They're not stupid people. So what do? They switch to C-SPAN.
Yeah, well, that's right. We are paying our politicians to pull our heartstrings in a certain way and do it effectively and do it in a collective way. And it seems to me that, you know, there's a lot of vision here and a lot of honesty that I find, you know, surprising, to be honest with you. I am excited and amazed at the cohesion of the Democratic Party, at the cohesion of the theme that they're laying down, at the respect that people have for Kerry, and also at the unique individual voices of everybody involved so far. It's been really great.
Well, I mean, they are united in the desire to get rid of George W. Bush.
I can't even imagine what they have, the Republicans, Mark. I mean, what could they possibly have? They got nothing. They got nothing. What are they going to draw on? What? What are they going to draw on? A failed economy? A botched war? What are they going to draw on? What have they done to make America better other than frighten people who are already frightened into believing them?
They are going to go after. When you don't have a record to run on, you attack your opponent's record. It's an axiom in politics. Happens all the time. And that is precisely what they will spend their time in the limelight doing about a month from now. But Obama,
I want to get an Obama buzz.
Yeah, right?
Let's get an Obama buzz.
Well, look, this is a guy who is now a rising star in the Democratic Party, but his ascendancy last night, that 18-19 minutes that he did last night,
he brought it, buddy.
We mentioned on Monday that that there was going to be a page turning in this convention as far as black visible spokespeople within the party.
Yeah, Jesse Jackson, na 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 na, na na na.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, to some extent, you're right. The platform, I mean, not the platform, the mantle of blacks in the Democratic Party has switched from the civil rights paradigm of the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons to the political paradigm of people like Barack Obama and some of the Greg Meeks, Harold Ford, some of the other black people that are involved heavily with the Kerry campaign who come directly from Congress as opposed to coming directly from the civil rights movement.
Yes.
And we're starting to see that change now. And Obama's speech last night, I think, was the symbolic passing of that torch. I think even Reverend Jackson knew that to some extent.
But there was definitely civil rights themes in there, but they were integrated into a broader
themes. Into a broader theme, a theme about American unity. And let's listen to Barack Obama as he made that impassioned plea.
Even as we speak, there are those who are preparing to divide us. The spin masters, the negative ad peddlers, who embrace the politics of anything goes. Well, I say to them tonight, there is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America. The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats. But I've got news for them, too. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states. We coach Little League in the blue states. And yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states. There are patriots who oppose the war in Iraq, and there are patriots who supported the war in Iraq. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes, all of us defending the United States of America.
Yes, powerful stuff, right?
Very powerful stuff.
You know, he also, by the way, touched a little bit on the Bill Cosby effect within the black community. And I think that was very, very interesting because, you know, Cosby created a lot of controversy with some of his remarks about how certain black people aren't holding up their end of the bargain. And Barack Obama said, going to any inner city neighborhood and folks will tell you that government alone can't teach kids to learn. They know that parents have to teach that children can't achieve unless we raise their expectations and turn off the television sets and eradicate the slander that says a black youth with a book is acting white. They know these things.
We've talked about this before. That's something within the black community that happens on, you know, the level of with kids.
Yeah, with kids.
And that there's a certain amount of bullying that goes on.
And look, I went through it too. A lot of kids are going, a lot of black kids, see, people think it's a new phenomenon. It's not really.
Right. You're saying that's been around a long time. Now, what is it exactly, what are they saying, like, what are the other priorities to these kids that bully the kids who are reading?
The other priority is the life, whatever
the life
may end up being. You know, going out, playing ball, going into the park, rapping.
Right.
It's not all that. It's not all about that. But it can be troubling when you see, you know, for example, a group of kids sitting on a bench at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You come back at 5, they're all sitting on the same bench, haven't moved.
Right.
Those kinds of things.
Hanging out.
Yeah, just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, to the extent that people are saying, look, it's time that people in the community have to start taking responsibility for making that change at home. That's the kind of thing that Barack Obama is hammering, and it was something that resonated with that audience, both black and white, in that Democratic National Convention last night.
Yeah, he really catalyzed it. You know what I mean? He really brought it even more so than Clinton, more than anybody we've seen so far. He really, really brought the Democratic ideal, the new Democratic Party idea.
Coming up, the presidential Palm Pilot, the liberal agenda, and watching a movie instead of watching the road can get you in big trouble when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There appears to be no end to the violence in Iraq since the transition in power. Suicide car bomber took the lives of 51 Iraqis this morning in what is now described as the worst attack since the transfer. The attack occurred in Bakuba. The bomber picked a vulnerable time to stage the incident as people were lining up for jobs with the local police. Democrats heard from veteran stars in the future of the National Party last night in Boston. All call for the expulsion of George W. Bush in November. Among those gracing the stage was a dynamic new player in party politics, Illinois State Senator Barack Obama, who brought the House down in a Bill Clinton-like style. Obama is an odds-on favorite to win a U.S. Senate seat in the state. Democrat John Kerry put pressure on President Bush to act on the 9/11 report forthwith by suggesting an extension of the panel's work in 18 months. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Yeah. Turn it up now.
Okay.
And I'm Tony Hawk. And I've got a new show called
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear
it. It's going to be action.
Furious 28.
It's skateboarding. It's music. It's action. It's funny. It's not boring.
Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Exclusively.
On Sirius. Faction 28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Chris wants to know if he should buy Google stock when it's offered. I'll tell him why not to after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Chris is thinking about buying Google stock at its initial offering. Past couple of days, I've been bombarded with information about the new Google IPO. What do you think about buying shares of Google? IPO, for those of you that don't know, is initial public offering. I would not put a dime in it. And that's not to say that Google isn't wonderful. However, there's an entire business landscape littered with dot-com going public failures and one or two successes. The point is, you're entering one of the most risky business landscapes that there has ever been known to man. And you're going to do that with a single stock investment, which adds even more risk. I can tell you that I own some aggressive growth stock mutual funds that invest in some dot-com stocks as a part of a whole portfolio strategy. And that lowers my risk way low. And if this Google IPO is awesome, they'll be buying into it. But I wouldn't buy it. I don't buy single stocks. You stand a better shot at the roulette wheel, dude. You really do.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Al Franken's going to help out Sam and Janine from the floor of the convention.
Yeah.
He's going to help them out. Yeah, he's going to be giving some reports from the floor of the convention. Have we got any reports from the floor of the convention? Nothing. Not that I'm bitter, not that I'm upset. It's okay, man. Just because we're here on the breakfast shift. We're doing the big work in the morning when people are on their way places, getting up, having the coffee, thinking about how their day is going to be spent, realizing it's Wednesday.
That's
trying
right.
to, you know, to lock into their day-to-day groove, and we're easing them into it. Let the other people go up to Boston and have a good time.
And have a good time.
We're here with the working people. You know, that's another thing. After listening to a lot of those speeches, you know, and hearing about jobs and the economy, happy to be employed, Riley. You?
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled. But remember something else about the Democratic convention. A lot of the people, you know, that whole talk radio row thing,
yeah,
not actually on the convention floor. So in other words,
many
these people are watching on monitors just like we are, but we're watching reruns. That's the only difference.
Right, right. Yeah, we did, and we're watching at home with ice cream.
We're watching here with...
Saying, wow, wouldn't it be nice to...
But you didn't bring any brownies, Marin.
I brought brownies 2 days in a row, dude. Let's do the presidential pompa.
This
just came in from Ramon. Here's the President Bush's schedule for today. 9 a.m., wake up in Crawford. Ah, another day off. This is like the first 6 months of my presidency. 10 a.m., watch Ted Kennedy's speech on TiVo. How many Kennedys are there? One family shouldn't be allowed to dominate national politics like that. 11 a.m., watch Ron Reagan Jr.'s speech on TiVo. How many Reagans are there? And me with no male heirs that I can admit to. 12 noon, ask staff what a Barack Obama is. And can it get through airport security? 1 p.m., appoint Blue Ribbon panel to find out why the 9/11 report doesn't have any illustrations, connect the dots, or foldouts. 3 p.m., sit on the porch with a lemonade and wait for the rapture. 3:10 p.m., well, guess he's not coming today. More time for video golf. 9:30 p.m., watch John Edwards' speech at Democratic Convention. He's good. I'm going to need a good trial lawyer when I get impeached. 11:10 p.m., bedtime, listen to Singing Jackalope. Think Happy Thought headline. Quote, Edwards horribly disfigured in bike accident. No longer beautiful, voters say. End quote.
Voters say, right?
Did you read this story, man, about this guy? Some guy in a pickup truck in Anchorage, Alaska, you know, crossed a double yellow line and killed a couple of people in a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And the police initially thought the accident was just like another sort of, you know, mistake, you know, just a distracted guy. And then they found out that he was watching a DVD. You know, I've seen DVDs in cars before. Usually they're in the backseat. And apparently, usually they're connected to the brakes, so they won't play unless the car is stopped. But this guy had sort of hot-wired his own DVD rig so he could watch it while he was driving. Now, I got a question for you. Yeah. What are we, stupid? I mean, when people say cell phones, cause accidents or they don't cause accidents, of course cell phones cause accidents. Of course coffee causes accidents. And I can guarantee you, watching a movie while you're driving, it's going to cause an accident. Yeah, call me crazy, but there's a real good chance if you're watching a movie.
Allegedly.
While you're driving. Allegedly, listen to what the guy said. After the crash, Peterson and his passenger, roommate Jonathan Douglas, were transported to an Anchorage hospital. Within hours, Douglas called his ex-wife and told her he was not sure how the collision occurred because he was, quote, spacing out on a movie they were watching, end quote.
Yeah, but now he says he wasn't using the DVD player. He says he was only listening to a compact disc.
What's that?
He says he's only listening to a compact disc. He was only listening to a compact disc.
Yeah, but he let this slip out. You know what the movie was? Do you want to know what the movie was? Road trip. I'm not making this up.
Yeah, right.
And now he's requested a hospital room with a DVD player.
You know, I don't know what. The thing is, they're saying that they're charging him with second degree murder, which a lot of people think is excessive, even if he was watching the DVD player.
Let me just say something, okay? He was watching a movie while he was driving the car.
Right? I know.
Because he was watching the movie, and, had it been like The Godfather or Citizen Kane, maybe second-degree murder would be excessive. But two people are dead because of Road Trip, all right? Road Trip. He's watching Road Trip.
But can they establish, and this is going to be the central part of this, by the way, can they establish he was actually watching? At the time.
If his wife testifies and said, that...
Forget about it.
What are you talking about?
Wives can't testify against their husbands.
They can't? Oh, it's his ex-wife.
Oh, it's well, in that case.
Why'd he call her, though?
Hallelujah. Yeah. Why'd he call his ex-wife? Oh, they were married at the time?
I don't know what happened, honey. I spaced out because I was watching a movie. And the car that I was driving ran into another car. Am I crazy? I mean, I knew when I had a cell phone. Look, I got in my first accident because I was combing my hair in the mirror. All right, that was my first car accident. All right, I just got in the car. It was my new Datsun B210. It was my first car.
Wow.
I had it 2 months. I'm driving to school because I'm cool. But how cool? I better check my hair. Hey, I look up. Bam! Destroyed my brand new car.
What'd your parents say?
What they say, they said, what were you doing? How'd that happen? I go, well, the car stopped in front of me, and I just... And does my hair look all right? I just want to check if my hair is okay. Oh, hey, look, is that... Oh, I love this part of this movie. Oh, wait, I mean, it's like, come on. Hey, wait, my phone's ringing. Come on. I just want to make sure... Oh, my coffee spilled. You're driving. Drive the car.
Well, you haven't even gotten into the makeup part yet. And I'm not even going to get into that because somebody emailed or did something on the blog.
How about like on the phone and the makeup? Hey, baby. No, I'm just on my way to work. Yeah, I got the phone in one hand. I'm doing my eyes on the other. Drive the car.
Please drive the car. Don't hit me and mine.
Exactly.
You got a license, Maren?
I do have a license. I've had a license since I was 14 and 9 months. In New Mexico, you get your driver's license.
Oh, before you even get the...
When you're 14 and 9 months, you can get your learner's permit. And when you're 15, you can get your fake ID. And then when you're 15, you can drive your car to liquor stores and wait out in front and go, hey, dude, can you get us a pint of Southern and a six of Miller? And then you can get the beer and get back in the car and drink your Southern Comfort with your friends and drive around drunk and drive the car.
Yeah.
Pull over.
Now, do you drive in New York?
I love driving in New York. I don't have a car with me now. I had my little Honda here for a while. The best part of driving in New York is to go out really late. Like when I used to do stand up, and I'd be out at like 1:32 in the morning, just ripping down the FDR when there's no one there. Ripping down, just drive, or ripping down First Avenue, just like, wow, it's great, and dodging the cars and getting the lights timed right. So
First Avenue in New York actually has better. It's a better roadway than the FDR. The FDR is just such a mess, man.
I mean, just potholes. Sort of like, hey, what is that up ahead? I can't. Oh, my God. I'm in a hole. I'm in the river. We got to go. We'll talk more about the convention when we come back here on Air America Radio.
I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The mayhem in the AM. The Great Morning Show, it's... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's Guy Talk. Morning Sports with an Edge. Oh, my God, come on!
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the year. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
You say your vehicle has airbags, high-impact bumpers, and you always wear your seatbelt. So far, so good. But if you should cut in front of an 18-wheeler on the highway and make that truck jam on his brakes, all of your high-tech safety features just might sound like this. It can take a truck twice as long to stop as a car. For your own safety, give those big rigs a lot of room. Remember, tangle with a truck and you lose. A public service message from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Dude, this is the best part. This is where Joe Pesci just kicks the hell out of Billy Bats in the bar. And oh, I shouldn't watch Goodfellas while I'm driving. Jeff in Louisiana, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing? I'm all right. I guess, you know, we're just trying to drive the car while we're doing a radio show.
Well, I'm calling up mainly I have one criticism, and I have one rip on Bush.
Okay, well, you're reacting to the presidential Palm Pilot piece that I
yes,
just did.
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you want to react to the you're taking issue with the rapture joke.
Yeah. Okay. Really, it's more of a how can I put this? I've heard so many Christian jokes. Yeah. I'm not going to say anti-Christian.
Sure.
But
well, Christians, we'll be the first to admit they're funny, and Christians are afraid to admit they're funny because they can't look at themselves as funny because it's very serious stuff.
But hold on, though. This is more important than all that.
Okay.
I mean, like, for instance,
yes.
Randy Rhoads
yes.
last week said
right.
that the fish on the back of the car means I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fish on my mother's car means that she's been fished by a fisher of men. It doesn't mean you're going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say to you that probably more than half of the Christians in America are not right-wing Republicans.
No, and we address that a lot on this show. We've had issue with a lot of people before, and a lot of people have called me on that. And, you know, there was a period of time in the early parts of this show. Like, I myself am not a believer, but we've had people talk to me, Christians, saying, look, you can't lump us all together. There are some fanatics and there are some people that are misunderstanding the teachings of Christ and using Christianity to mobilize a very negative political movement, and they're not all of us.
I understand where you're coming from, and hey, I laughed at Christian jokes. I bought Mad TV skit where the Terminator came back to stop Jesus from being killed was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I think that probably 90% of the time, or more, when Christianity or some element of it is mentioned, is negative.
Yeah.
But what's really more important is all about, is this.
Yeah.
Why is it that no one, except for that Sharona guy on Al Franken's show once, mentioned that a month before 9/11, George Bush took the longest vacation in presidential history?
Right.
He was playing golf for a month, and he said, and I quote, "The nation's not going to fall apart."
Yeah, no,
nobody is riding on this.
Yeah, we talked about that here. And also, like, how about right now, buddy? How about now, Jeff? He's on vacation now, and the 9/11 Commission report just came out, and he's just hanging out. He's riding his bike, running into mountains and stuff.
Yeah.
But think about it this way.
Okay.
Okay, what if George Bush took those memos seriously?
Yeah.
You know, they're a threat to the White House.
Absolutely.
I'm getting out for a month.
Right.
And wait until something happens. He was actually gone for more than a month.
So you're suggesting...
Because when it happened, he was in Florida.
Right.
So I mean...
So what are you suggesting? That maybe that he knew about it?
I'm saying that he ran with his tail between his legs and hoped nothing would happen and didn't warn anybody.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for your call, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about that yesterday, that when the Osama plans to hit United States August 6th to...
PDB came out.
He was on vacation, and now he's on vacation again with the 9/11 report. Not reading it. Says it's interesting. He might get to it. Worried about his cardiovascular condition, and now today he hired a task force to read it for him. He didn't want the commission, but now he's hiring another commission to read the commission's report for him and advise him what to do. What is this guy? What is this?
This is risk. He's trying to manage risk. He knows if something goes wrong and he doesn't do anything, he's in worse shape than he already is, which is pretty bad.
I guess Malak Shabazz, who is Malcolm X's daughter, is on the phone to talk about the Patriot Act.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
How you doing?
I called a couple of days ago when this happened, but I was too hoarse.
Yeah.
I'm slightly laryngitis, and I'm also Dr. Betty Shabazz's daughter as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I worked with her for some time.
I know you did.
Yes.
And I was, Mark, I don't know why you're not at the convention.
Huh?
Why aren't you at the convention?
Well, they decided to leave me here with this other guy.
Oh, they were afraid of you. I didn't go because of Mrs. Schultz's funeral, Mr. Sutton.
Yes, I'm going tonight myself, actually.
I'm not going tonight. I'll be there tomorrow, so I'll see you then.
Oh, okay.
Okay. My statement was I work at the UN. I'm an NGO at the UN with a peacekeeping NGO. And a colleague of mine who works here from Liberia, she's Liberian.
Mm-hmm.
6 months ago, her brother was killed in the war, and with all problems with Charles Taylor and him leaving, leaving a wife and 5 kids. Now, everybody else is here working professionally. She works at Columbia Presbyterian. Her sister got flu and died within 24 hours.
Wow.
Leaving 5 orphans.
Oh, my God.
So we immediately got her plane ticket to go over there because she's a citizen here.
Yes.
But those kids aren't, and she's having a problem getting a visa.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to leave orphans in a Liberian orphanage and not bring them where their relatives are wealthy and doing well? It doesn't make any sense. So she went there immediately. We were trying to get her a contact on ground while she went. But so it was my job to call her.
All right. And what, she stuck now? Is that
No, no, no. She's in Cote d'Ivoire. She went in. She's going back and forth.
Oh, okay.
The problem is with the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
I called on my friend's cell phone to get operator assistance. They said, "Whose name is this on the account?" And I was like, "What's that have to do with anything?" You know,
yeah.
The operator.
Oh, they were trying to catch you up in the Patriot Act?
No, no. What I said, I felt it because what happened was, they asked me for the number on the account, the name, then they asked me for they didn't even ask my name, my Social Security number and my mother's maiden name, and this is an overseas operator, before she would even allow to connect me to Liberia to call and give this person a number.
Oh, that's incredible. We got to run. Unfortunately, we got to take a hard commercial break here, but we got to find out what's going on with that. I didn't know that was a provision of the Patriot Act.
I didn't know that you can call an overseas operator and they want your mother's maiden name and social security number.
That's bizarre.
That is very bizarre. Listen, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, you take care.
All right,
we'll
bye-bye.
Be back in a second here on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
Okay. I'm Tony Hawk, and I've got a new show called
Tony Hawk.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear it.
It's going to be on Action.
Sirius 28.
It's skateboarding, it's music, it's action, it's funny, it's not boring.
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Exclusively
on Sirius. Action 28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Their music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. But a little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after that. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem.
Hey, now this is Dr. John with a message from MAP and a partnership for a drug-free America.
This is the part where Michael Corleone gives Fredo the kiss of death in Cuba.
Oh.
What was I doing? I was trying to watch a movie. I didn't know that the road was... I'm going to we're going to talk about Kerry's position on the Patriot Act after the top of the hour, because Ms. Shabazz brought up some interesting elements of how people are allowed in other countries to hold people, you know, and people have a hard time getting into this country, even if they have nothing to do with terrorism. But Kerry does have a plan on revising a bit of the Patriot Act and replacing some of the things. Right now, we have a call from Ellen in Ohio, who I think is calling in reaction to the other Christian we had on earlier. Hello, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Yeah, hi. Although I won't claim to be much of a Christian, I'm lapsed. I was raised in a fundamentalist church and full of Pharisees, and my Christian brethren and sister will know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But, you know, here was my point. Fundamentalism in any religion can be a problem.
Because it's
fundamentalist
so narrow.
Muslims.
Yes.
That came after us and attacked the World Trade Center.
Right.
If the fundamentalist Christians, you know, want to be tolerated, then they need to show a little more tolerance.
Right.
I believe it's in the Bible, it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or there's some variation.
Right. Show a little tolerance like Jesus would have.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Love others as you love yourself. These people are so filled with self-hatred that they project it onto everything and everyone.
Self-hatred and shame.
That they can't accept.
Yes.
What about giving them their own state?
Right. Well, we, you know,
they
we
say they want South Carolina, you know.
We were invaded by Operation Save America last week, and it was...
Oh, yeah, what happened with that? We had another caller that talked about that. They were going to go down there and protest it.
Yeah, they spent the whole week around City Hall, and my office is near there, and it was just like, oh, man, people, don't you have anything else better to do? The only maybe good side of it was hot as all get out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had to suffer through Midwestern heat. And Friday night, I didn't really hear what happened Friday night. Apparently the big mix-up was going to go then. When I was headed home for the bus, I passed a parade of youths who were carrying an anarchist flag.
No, that's good.
So I learned that there are anarchists in Columbus.
Yeah, there's always a couple of anarchists around. You know, white guys with dreads and, you know, Doc Martin boots. Thanks for calling, Ellen.
Wow.
Yeah, the anarchists they do a good thing. Some of them are very active, really good symbolic protests. A lot of stuff in Adbusters is anarchy related.
Are you an anarchist, man?
No.
You sure?
No, I'm.
You're not down with no government.
No, I'm just I'm self-centered and confused, Mark. And angry about things, you know. It's like, you know, when you're younger, you think you're angry for a reason. Then as you get older, you realize you might just be angry.
Yeah. Period.
No, I'm a little bit of an anarchist, a little bit of, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I used to be an anarchist when I was young.
Yeah?
When you're in college and you start thinking, you hear a lot and you read a lot about political science. And quite frankly, I thought most of the politicians of my earlier life were full of crap anyway.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of politicians are full of crap, and I think that we should tear it all down. But then, you know, what are we going to do? Farm? Who gets to run things then?
Party.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. What does it come down to?
Party.
Well, here's what we know today is what we get from the Streisand compound. Here's a liberal agenda for today. Here are your marching orders. Write them down. One, talking point. Fighting the war on terror is fine, but do we really need the attitude? Two, combine our positive energy to levitate the fleet center. Three, make every vote count and dance and dabble in ceramics. Four, be a delegate from the great state of serenity. And five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, hear me out on this. There's a hole in the ozone directly over the Florida delegation. End quote. We'll be back, right, Mark? What do we have in store for the next hour, my friend?
Well, we've got a lot in store for the next hour, Mark Maron. In the next hour, Morning's Edition, more from the Democratic National Convention, Terror Watch, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and Kim Gandy, president of the National Organization for Women. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community, anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Hi. This is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More bad news for the Bush White House and his prospects to win a second term. New CNN USA Today Gallup poll says the president is at his lowest quarterly average approval rating of his presidency. It now stands at 47.9%. New figures also reflect his term low in individual rating at 46% back in May. The pollster says the last time Bush had recorded a level high approval rating was on the fourth quarter of his presidency, shortly after the September 11th attacks in 2001. Since then, his average quarterly scores have maintained or declined, but have not once improved from one quarter to the next. Seems the ongoing conflict in Iraq is certainly not helping the president with the American voting populace. Associated Press reports that Americans are anxious about the economy and unhappy about the war. News agency says as the death toll of the American soldiers inches near 1,000 expected around the time of the election, Americans will be psychologically impacted by the growing loss of life. The news adds, news agency added that there's a strong market for change at the White House based on their surveys. Democrats appeared united last night on the second evening of their national convention at the Fleet Center in Boston. There were no signs of internal discord, with all espousing a change in the White House. Party heard from veteran Democrats and rising stars. Among those addressing the gathering last night was a dynamic new player in national politics, black Harvard-trained lawyer and Illinois State Senator Barack Obama, who brought the crowd to their feet in calling for a change at the Oval Office.
If you feel the same energy that I do, if you feel the same urgency that I do, if you feel the same passion that I do, if you feel the same hopefulness that I do, if we do what we must do, then I have no doubt John Kerry will be sworn in as president and this country will reclaim its promise, and out of this long political darkness, a brighter day will come. Thank you very much, everybody. God bless you.
Obama is the odds-on favorite to win a U.S. Senate seat in Illinois. If that should happen, he would be the fifth black in the history of the country to become a member of the U.S. Senate. Obama's address was so riveting that Democrat, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and senior New York U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer said they were awestruck. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry yesterday scored a coup by projecting himself as a viable alternative to President Bush and advocating an extension of the work of the nonpartisan 9/11 Commission for another 18 months. By doing so, Kerry put Bush in a position of having to make a decision on adopting the recommendations of the panel to keep America safe very soon. Vice President Dick Cheney took his Republican reelection campaign to Camp Pendleton, California, in a bid to steal some luster from the Democratic convention, where he's been roasted by veteran politicians for a policy of preemptive war. Cheney was flanked by howitzers and American flags at the base, where he said weakness only emboldened the terrorists. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gill.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner,
convention's on, and the fight's just beginning.
You call yourself a bunch of
it's fugitive Jewish Oracle Rottweiler.
Catch full live coverage on Sirius Left, Right, Patriot, and Outkick. The DMC's on Sirius.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Anna and her husband want to know how to get a home loan with no credit. I'll tell them after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Can you get a home with no credit?
Me and my fiancé are looking to purchase a home, but we're both beginners and neither of us have any credit established.
Well, you can do that if you've paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years and can prove it. And if you paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years, you're steady on your job for 2 years, you have a good down payment, and you're not trying to buy too much house as a percentage of your income, then you qualify for a mortgage. You will need to find a mortgage broker that does what's called manual underwriting, because if they don't, they pull what's called a Beacon score. And you won't have a Beacon score because your credit bureau is blank. And I don't want you to go out and get a bunch of credit just to get a house. That's not necessary. That's a big lie that runs around our culture. You know, collect those things I just talked about, those four things, which is down payment, the payment as a percentage of your income can't be too much, 2 years of job record, and 2 years of landlord record, and then your bank.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult.
So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4 foot nine, they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour. And this is Morning's Edition.
This is the best part. This is where Butch and Sundance, just like they're in Bolivia, and they just give it up. They're like, you know what? Let's just go out and let's just go out and do this. And oh man, why don't you tell me we're crossing over the lanes?
Mm-hmm. I'm FDR.
If you're just tuning in, that's a reference back to a story we had earlier about a guy who went off the road and killed two people in a Jeep driving a pickup truck while he was watching Road Trip on DVD. Claims he was only listening to music. But that doesn't look like to be. Who would have known? Watching a DVD while you're driving could be dangerous. Who would have known? Wait, I just got to, like, hey, I got to just dial this number because I got to make an important call. Hello? Oh, in all honesty, I got into an accident on the cell phone. It wasn't because of the cell phone, but I was on the cell phone when a truck hit my car.
Really?
From the back, and I was on with my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time, but I was just like talking to her. I'm like, yeah, so then I'm going to go over to this place, and just like, bam!
Oof.
And, like, she heard the whole thing.
Really?
It's very disturbing.
She must have been very upset.
It was kind of upsetting. It was very upsetting. Oh, this is the cool part. This is where Russell Crowe at the end, like, pulls the dagger out and, like, gets Joaquin Phoenix right in the... Hey, what the... How come you didn't tell me that was right coming at me? Why didn't you tell me that the stop sign was there? I'm trying to watch Gladiator.
Well, pull over to the side of the road.
A man who married his partner 23 years after gay marriage was legalized in Massachusetts now is having trouble apparently getting a new passport.
Oh, I heard about this. Donald
Henneberger, formerly Donald Smith, recently received a letter from the National Passport Center in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, denying the request for a name change on his passport. The center said it would not recognize a marriage license for same-sex couple as proof of name change.
Why don't you stop hassling gay people? What is this?
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you stop?
You know, it's weird, though, is that, when the same-sex marriages became on the marriage license, apparently, the couple checked a box that automatically changes the
last name.
Yeah, to whatever they request. And you know what's really weird is that on gay marriage licenses, you have to list whether you're a top or a bottom as well.
Now you start hassling the gay people, too.
No, I don't. I don't think that's a hassle. I think.
How do you know it's not sideways?
Yeah, or maybe, some people, as I once said, my friend David, said he's actually a non-penetrating gay male, which means that, he doesn't do any of that one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Which only leaves one thing, you know what I mean? So I don't think I'm being mean or rude. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, okay, all right.
I'm just making a little joke.
As long as it doesn't happen to you.
Now, the letter from the National Passport Center cites that the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which states a marriage can only be between a man and a woman and a spouse, it can only refer to a person of the opposite sex. The Defense of Marriage Act applies to gays only in the instance of sham heteromarriages between a man and a beard. Do you understand how that works? Are you seeing the point?
I'm getting your point. Yeah.
Hey, this is the best part of that movie. This is where Meg Ryan just... Oh, why can't I...
Why can't you keep your eyes on the road?
I want an Obama buzz.
Well, you know what? Democrats are keeping their eyes on the road. Yes. And on the prize.
Great. I want to get an Obama buzz. Are
That's
we going
right.
to get one soon?
Sure.
All right.
Now, they're getting down to business tonight at the Democratic National Convention. It's going to be the traditional roll call, which is one of the most boring things they ever put on television this side of golf.
Yeah.
So-and-so, 21 delegates here. They kind of like to... Like it's in school,
yeah.
But it's the 50 states and the possessions of whatever else. And then, of course, John Edwards is also speaking.
John Edwards is a little hoarse. If they show another picture of him casually sitting on his couch looking at a legal pad on CNN, I'm going to plot. Do you understand?
Right.
I mean, it's like, oh, we get it. He's writing his speech. We get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, he visited his
son. They
son's...
got nothing to do.
I know.
His reporters.
But they did visit his son's grave. His son was 16 years old, killed in a very tragic auto accident.
Horrible.
And before they came from North Carolina up to Boston for the convention.
Right.
They actually visited his gravesite.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I think it was nice. It was a smart thing. You know, but, no, I shouldn't say smart thing.
We just about
poignant.
To say that's the right thing to do politically?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
why
because you know
why
you're going to be followed.
Why are you censoring yourself there, Riley?
Well, because of a dead kid, for God's sake.
You don't want to make it sound like that. But you
know.
Well, maybe they go and they visit the grave when, you know, he's doing big things in his life and he wants to share it with his son.
Yeah. I mean, I talk with my late dad every now and then.
Really?
Well, when I have dilemmas and stuff, you know, you kind of, I mean, I don't sit there and actually mouth phrases or anything, but you have a kind of
community. Yeah, my mother talks to her dead mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, in addition, obviously, to what is going to go on tonight, last night, it was Barack Obama and Teresa Hines-Carey who got most of the attention.
He killed. Barack Obama killed, man. Starts off slow, nice build. You're like, wow, this dude is on point. He's looking good. He's got clarity. And then, like, you're like, where's this going? Is he just going to trickle off, or is he going to bam?
But he bammed.
He did, man.
Over and
big
over
close.
And over again.
Big close.
He addressed the delegates last night with a great deal of passion about what he sees binding Americans together. Let's listen.
If there's a child on the south side of Chicago who can't read, that matters to me even if it's not my child. If there's a senior citizen somewhere who can't pay for their prescription drugs and having to choose between medicine and the rent, that makes my life poorer even if it's not my grandparent. If there's an Arab American family being rounded up without benefit of an attorney or due process, that threatens my civil liberty. It is that fundamental belief, I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper, that makes this country work.
And then you see Jesse Jackson up in the rafters going, damn, my his tires.
No, I mean, I think he saw that the torch is being passed. I mean, this is a new generation of young black leadership. He from a very interesting background. His father was Kenyan.
Sheepherder, he said.
I believe his grandfather worked in a colonial house as a servant.
For British people.
Yeah, and his mother is from Kansas.
Yes.
And what he was saying was that really only in America could a Kenyan and a Kansan get together, marry, have a child who can aspire to be anything he or she wanted to be. And that's what Barack
America's
Obama
all about.
Said. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously that resonated with the Democrats. I think there was a shared vision there about what and he kept saying the country can do better, which is really as big a criticism as he made of Bush during the course of most of the speech. I mean, he really just said, look, he was a really, really solid guy.
Can we hear another clip? Is there another one? Do we have time?
I think we might have time. We got time for one more clip?
Can we hear the other one, Chris?
Let's hear another clip from Barack Obama.
Maybe.
I thought of the 900 men and women, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors who won't be returning to their own hometowns. I thought of the families I'd met who were struggling to get by without a loved one's full income, or whose loved ones had returned with a limb missing or nerves shattered, but still lack long-term health benefits because they were reservists. When we send our young men and women into harm's way, we have a solemn obligation not to fudge the numbers or shade the truth about why they're going, to care for their families while they're gone, to tend to the soldiers upon their return, and to never, ever go to war without enough troops to win the war, secure the peace, and earn the respect of the world.
Damn, my is tired.
Well, you don't have to compare him to Jesse just because they're both black.
Well, you were the one that said this is a passing of the torch.
I know. It is a passing of the torch. It really is a very symbolic passing of the torch. At a certain point, I guess there is that whole, that used to be me kind of thing that goes through someone's mind when they see a younger person moving into that kind
of
position.
That's what I'm referring to. Could be anybody. Black, white, Latino.
Yeah, it could be.
When an old guy who used to have the juice sees the juice being gone, going away, and then sees the new guy with the juice. I'm a comic. I watch some guys coming up. I'm like, damn, my is tired. And then I go, but wait a minute, I'm wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been around. I know what's going on. We got a good guest coming up. We have the president of the National Organization for Women, Kim Gandy, where they're doing a Take Back America conference, which is going on simultaneous to the Democratic convention. She's going to talk to us a little bit about that, a little bit about Teresa Hines Carey,
yeah.
And a little bit about women, I'm assuming.
Yes.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
He's been around for more than 400 million years. He'll go through 20,000 teeth in his lifetime. He can grow up to 45 feet long and weigh 30,000 pounds. And he can go 3 months without eating. But then he's going to be really, really hungry. No, it's not your brother-in-law. It's a shark, silly. It's Shark Week on Sirius Discovery Channel Radio, 135.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Trey, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
I love this part. This is where Robert De Niro is like, you know, when he's about to say, my wife, did you my wife? And then, oh, why didn't you tell me that we were about to turn to a... Is today Wednesday? Today's Wednesday. Right, tomorrow I go to the therapist. Friday I go see my wife. Thank God I'm going nuts.
Oh, that's right. You're going out to the West Coast.
Yeah, right? And Thursday, tomorrow, I go to my therapist with this dream from last night. I'm at the convention.
Ooh.
So right away, you know this is a dream. Yeah. And guess what? I'm a featured speaker, my friend.
Uh-oh.
I got on the red power tie, hair parted on the side. I've been practicing my forceful but not too dramatic hand gestures. Been polishing my inspirational cliches. Optimistic about the future, but reverent about the past. All that happy crap. You know what I'm saying. All right, so I take a leak. I'm on empty and ready to change America. So who walks up to the podium to introduce me? Who, Riley? Jesus. Jesus, who's wearing a Grateful Dead tie, says, fellow Democrats, it is my pleasure to introduce to you a man who doesn't believe in me, But I believe in him. A great American, with or without caffeination, Mark Maron, ladies and gentlemen. People cheer and wave their signs and rattle their stupid buttons, mostly because they're drunk. All right? I walk into the glare of the lights. What am I going to say? Who are these people? Who am I, Riley? I'm asking myself in my dream. I stand there getting a suntan because the lights are so bright. A long minute passes and I clear my throat, you know, and I squeak, fellow Democrats. Just then, George W. Bush rides up in a knight's outfit, helmet, armor, and a lance, all with the Halliburton logo. This might be more impressive if he weren't riding a mountain bike, but he was. Bring it on, W. says, and he starts pedaling up to the stage, lance aimed at my heart, intent on making me a Marin kebab. Bush chases me around the Fleet Center for a couple of laps until he reaches Barack Obama, who trips him. No one messes with Barack Obama. Bush falls off his bike and keeps falling and falling and falling and falling into an abyss of time and space and darkness and despair. I went back to the podium and started my speech, but everyone had gone, and winter came, and it was far too cold to be optimistic about the future, but reverent about the past. I woke up, and my bed was filled with the corpse of chivalry. Wow.
That's too deep for me, man, I'll tell you that right
now.
Too
deep for me, and it was in my head. Our guest now, president of the National Organization for Women, and also she is they're doing the Take Back America Conference, which is going on simultaneously to the Democratic Convention. Please welcome Kim Gandy to the show. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about this Take Back America conference to start off.
Well, it's a conference. It's an extension, I suppose, of the huge conference that was held in Washington, D.C. last month that had several thousand people, and there were another probably 1,500 here this weekend and heard Michael Moore and a lot of other great speakers yesterday. I was very privileged to be a part of that conference, along with lots of other great events that are happening parallel to the Democratic Convention.
Are you going over to the Democratic Convention as well a little bit? Or?
Yeah, no, we've been there every evening, and we've had a couple of NOW events as well to raise money for our Get Out the Vote efforts and to educate people. In fact, I'm on my way right now to Lesley College in Cambridge, where there's a young women's leadership forum for high school girls.
Oh, fabulous.
There are several hundred high school girls that have been selected from around the country for their leadership potential. And
nice.
They've been participating in convention events and the like, and people from the convention have been coming over to speak to them.
Oh, that's great. So now, how well does John Kerry fit the agenda, the progressive agenda that you support, if I might ask?
He has a very strong record on most of the issues that we work on. He is not as good as we would like on equal marriage rights, and of course he voted for the bad welfare bill, as did lots of the members of Congress. But beyond those two items, he has an extremely, extremely strong record. I would say a near perfect record on progressive issues.
Great.
Now, Kim Gandy, there are some people who are nervous about his position on abortion, saying essentially that they could see a scenario in which he might backtrack a bit on his support of the women's right to choose.
Well, I can see why people would say that, because he's been talking of late a lot about his religious views. I'm not sure why he feels prompted to do that, but he has done that a number of times recently. The reality is, though, that he's got a 20-year voting record that is absolutely, completely solid on women's reproductive rights, on birth control, abortion, on access, on availability of care and services, on reproductive health issues like prenatal care and screening, including birth control and abortion, and overseas as well.
Now, I know that it seems as though some women have become lightning rods during this political season, whether it's somebody like Corrine Brown, the congresswoman from Florida, or Teresa Hines Carey, in terms of her statement to that reporter from that newspaper in Pittsburgh, the whole shove it thing. She spoke before the convention last night, and we want to play a bit of her speech and then have you react to it, okay?
Sure.
All right, this is Teresa Hines Carey at last night's session of the DNC.
My right to speak my mind, to have a voice, to be what some have called opinionated. deeply and profoundly cherish. And my only hope is that one day soon, women who have all earned their right to their opinions, instead of being called opinionated, will be called smart and well-informed, just like men.
What did you think?
Oh, I think she is amazingly popular among women and a little less popular among men who don't take quite as well as women do to opinionated women.
I like her. Mark,
yeah,
you,
absolutely.
We're okay.
We're all right with her.
I think she's great.
Yeah.
One of our now vice presidents was asked by a reporter yesterday what her favorite thing was about Teresa Hines Carey, and Olga said her accent.
Uh-huh.
Olga immigrated from Cuba at age 14, and she said, what a nice idea that someone with an accent might be in the White House.
So you think she's going to pull the women in? I mean, tell us a little bit about 10 for Change, the campaign that targets single women.
We have several campaigns going on. 10 mm-hmm. for Change is our couch potato activist campaign.
Nice.
That's for people who want to go on the internet at 10forchange.org and do their part from their computer to help get their friends registered to vote and make sure that people know about the issues. It's one of those, 10 easy steps for people who don't have time to get out and knock doors and dial phones. But we're doing that too, and signing up as many volunteers as we can to go out and register those single women voters. 22 million single women who did not vote in the year 2000.
That's unbelievable. And most women, I guess, who are married in last year's election, how did they vote?
The married women tended to vote more for the Democratic candidate, more for Gore than they did for Bush, but not in the same degree
right.
as single women did. It's a huge, the gender gap is significantly larger among single women who hold, in general, a more progressive worldview on a wide variety of issues.
Sure, and we're going to put that, is there another website that people can go to before we go here?
Sure, you can go to now.org or nowpacs.org.
Nowpacs.org or now.org.
All the information.
Well, great. Well, thanks for joining us, Kim Gandy. It was great talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Nice to talk with you.
Okay, take care. That was Kim Gandy, the president of the National Organization of Women, and we'll put those websites up on our morningsedition.com website.
Absolutely.
Mark.
Up next, we talk to you on the phones at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270, plus the Rock Birth of a Nation, and more here on Air America Radio.
Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Arrowtown, for free. O.T. Arrowtown is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. While Ron Reagan upstaged the Republicans last night with an appearance at the Democratic National Convention, there's word this morning that his mother, Nancy Reagan, has just said no to President Bush and the Republicans' foreign appearance at the upcoming Republican convention in New York. GOP was hopeful the former First Lady would make a cameo after a video tribute to her late husband. Speaking of the Republicans, Vice President Dick Cheney took his re-election campaign out west and for the first time responded to Democratic criticism of his policy on preemptive war. Cheney told a gathering that a perception of weakness spawns terrorism. 4 years after the Florida debacle in the presidential election, it seems history is destined to repeat itself as electronic records from the first widespread use of touchscreen voting machines in Miami-Dade County have been lost. And more violence has rocked Iraq this morning. Some 51 Iraqi nationals lost their lives in a suicide car bombing attack in Bakuba. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Rhonda inherited cemetery plots. Now she wants to sell them. I'll help her not get stiff after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Rhonda needs to sell a cemetery plot.
What I'd like to know is how could one go about selling cemetery lots 1,500 miles away?
Whoa.
If you've inherited them, you have no need or no desire to use them, and these were purchased a long time ago.
I would contact four or five churches that are within a 5 or 10 mile radius, see if they have any kind of little newspaper that you could buy an ad in, and then I would also look at just traditional classified ads in the newspaper. People sell them that way. I've seen them for sale. Okay. Let's call funeral homes in the area. I'm trying to think who the customers are, but
yeah,
you know,
that's
not funny.
we
got to find somebody that has the need here. You know, you might try to establish the market value, and if you discounted them, somebody at a local funeral home might buy them from you, knowing they can.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
I love this part. This is where Jeff Bridges, like, comes out. I got to pay attention to what I'm doing. So now it is time, because we don't want to, you know, neglect or deny you a barrage of information from Iraq. It is now time for
Terror Watch.
That music is not meant to trivialize, only to grab you. Grab your attention. So there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of people being kidnapped in Iraq. There is, we have a president, as you know, who is in Texas riding his mountain bike, and he has just assigned a task force to read the 9/11 Commission report for him because he is incapable of doing it. Although yesterday he said that it read like a mystery novel, apparently he gave up because it was just too damn challenging. So he's hired a task force to read the report of a committee that he didn't want to hire and give him some recommendations that he should be acting on now.
You know, it sounds like he's faking on that, too. You know, this whole thing. We're going to go do this without congressional approval. Yeah, right.
But in the heavier news, will you do some heavy lifting for me, Mark?
Well, we have a suicide car bombing in Iraq. This is the worst explosion, the worst death toll since the United States transferred sovereignty on June 30th. This was outside a police recruiting center in Bakuba. 51 Iraqis were killed. And, of course, Mark, we've talked time and time again about the fact that the insurgents are targeting these military police installations, trying to keep Iraqis from being a part of this military and police complex, and trying to keep people, I think, as far distant as possible from this new interim Iraqi government as well. This attacker just drove a car carrying explosives up to a crowd of people outside the station, and these people, of course, were applying for police jobs. That has happened in the recent past. in Iraq as well, where suicide car bombers just drive up and, you know, blam. And particularly at police recruiting stations or at places where the police...
it's awful.
Yeah.
And it's like they're planning this stuff out. The insurgency, as complex as it is, with all the different factions in Iraq, all the different dynamics in this insurgency, you know, renegade terrorist groups, Iraqi nationalists, mm-hmm. and they're getting more organized because there's another story here about, you know, another, you know, set of how many people, militants in Iraq have kidnapped nearly 70. Yeah. 70 people in their campaign to drive out coalition forces and hamper reconstruction. I mean, that's not just one group.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
No. These are many, many different groups of people with different interests who might, under other circumstances, be fighting each other. By the way, I misspoke. It was June 28th that the power was handed over, not the 30th. It was supposed to be the 30th. They did 2 days early. But, you know, these are different groups, Mark. You have the Sunnis. You have the Shias. You have all of these different groups of people inside Iraq. You have people that want a secular government. You want people that want to have a theocracy. And what has united them was the American invasion and occupation.
Yeah.
And now the setting up of what they still consider to be a puppet government. Make no mistake about the fact that these folks do not see this government as legitimate. Now, they don't necessarily represent all Iraqis.
Right.
You know, a lot of Iraqis...
And it's not to say that some things that are being done in Iraq are not beneficial.
No. I mean, a lot of Iraqis just want peace. They want to have power. They want to have electricity. They want to have running water. They want to be able for their kids to go to school. They want to be able to travel freely. They want to do what most human beings want to do.
And they're willing to bide their time until this new leader, Alawi, becomes exactly like Hussein. And in the interim, they are trying to have a life.
Well, yeah. And the problem is that the insurgents understand that's what they want, and they believe that they can turn the Iraqi people against the government by making the government seem like they can't keep the people safe. It's
right.
The most basic thing in the world
right.
For people, for certainly terrorists to use.
And they're also using these kidnappings as very specific tactics. You know, they kidnap people for very specific reasons. Rajah Azad, 49 years old, an engineer, and Sajjad Naeem, 29, a driver. These are Pakistanis working for a Kuwaiti-based firm, and they reported kidnapped on Monday, and the militants sentenced them to death because Pakistan is considering sending troops into Iraq. A couple of people were kidnapped on Monday, and the militants threatened to kill them in 72 hours if their Jordanian company did not stop working with the U.S. military. You know, and it goes on like that.
Mm.
Militants threaten to behead these people if their Kuwaiti employee keeps doing business in Iraq. These are tactics. It's not random. It's not just kidnapping anybody. They are kidnapping people to further their efforts in their war.
Yeah, and at the same time, Vice President Bloviator Dick Cheney goes to Camp Pendleton and tells the assembled multitudes there that weakness only emboldens terrorists. Of course, he's trying to counter the democratic criticism of the administration, and he's saying, quote, terrorist attacks are not caused by the use of strength. They are invited by the perception of weakness.
And then a lizard stuck its head out of his nostril and began to crawl across his face into his ear, but was frightened and mm-hmm. went back into his nostril, and his eyes rolled back into his head, and people said, uh-oh.
And the other thing is, of course, the numbers would state otherwise as far as Iraq's concerned. The number of attacks has gone up since the America used its strength.
Yeah, so, and that's why people are starting to turn on Bush. His ratings are very low. They're starting to get lower on Iraq. And our number is 866-303-2270. And we're going to take your calls right after this on Morning's Edition on Air Max Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Sorry, that's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
It all kicks off on Monday. Your reason for living. It keeps Bud, Coors, and Miller in business. It's the reason Cheetos, Doritos, and Tostitos were invented. Without it, you'd be helping your wife around the house on Sunday afternoon. We've been telling you it's coming, and it's the biggest thing ever. And it's about to go live. This Monday, join us for NFL Radio, exclusively on Sirius 124.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tramike asked the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
You give me power, get out of bed. When in the morning, I'm feeling dead.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
One, two, three, four, five.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, kid, are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never asked. They'll never know the E's used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins, or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah. You sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask Your Kids About E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Oh, this is the best part. This is where Woody Allen does that really. Oh, no, I can't. The number is 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 30. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Good morning to all of you. Oh, yes, and you too. I hear that 1,000 Iraqis are meeting to choose a national assembly. Nice going. It's a big step. But first, clear out all cars and delivery trucks in a one-mile radius. You know why. Exactly. Now, a few words about having the Congress. Tip number one, anyone who wants to be in the assembly is a crook. Tip number two, anyone who isn't a crook is probably a hopeless idealist overdue for assassination. Exactly. Now, don't get me wrong. Congress is a representative body. They represent the needs and desires of big corporations. The needs and desires of the people, well, that's their problem. What Congress does is convince the people that their needs and desires are the same as the needs and desires of the corporation. Corporations. And if they really are the same, well, so much better. Just don't expect too much from your assemblymen. They'll make speeches, they'll shake hands, they'll buy advertising to get reelected. That's about all they can do and about all you want to know. Case in point, Gary Condit. Just trust me on that. Good luck and God bless. This is Day 30 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Huh?
Uh-oh.
Yes. Joe in New York, LIB. What's going on?
How are you? Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
Good.
Just want to call and make a couple comments. Definitely don't want to try to change your mind on anything or get into discussion because I know how that'll go. So if you could just bear with me for a couple comments. Listen to all the different radio stations, you all and the right, just to, you know, try to listen to what everybody's saying. And I've got to say, I believe that you guys have become as destructive on the left as all the people you despise on the right, i.e. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. The rhetoric from both sides is so out of hand and so hateful that there's no discussion, there's no acknowledgement for either side doing anything right, and it's really distressing, in my opinion. And, you know, I appreciate what you guys are trying to do. I understand you were outnumbered as far as radio stations and getting your word out, so, you know, you had to do what you had to do. But
can we use that for a promo?
Yeah,
what's
thanks.
What's that?
Can we use that for a promo? You had to do what you had to do.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, please.
By the way, Joe, who do you think
as
we
far
hate?
As let me just finish my comment. As far as the comments about, you know, Iraq and what you were just saying, and you know, it just sounds so much like you're blaming us for a bunch of psychos blowing up, a police station for Iraqis who want to get in, join, help. And maybe you're not. Maybe I misunderstood you.
You did.
But it sure sounded like you were saying, well, if we weren't there, this wouldn't happen. And in my opinion, and I've got some experience in this, yes, it would. It would happen anywhere that we try to bring freedom to a country like that. Now, again, maybe I misunderstood you, so I'm not trying to tell you you're wrong and all these things. That's the way I took it as a listener.
Okay.
And finally,
well, yeah.
And just one more comment, please, and I'll let you have at me, okay?
Sure.
You know, we talk a lot about, well, but we support the troops. We hate Bush, and we hate what he's doing, and we think he's destructive, and he's betrayed the country and all these things, and that's fine. But we support the troops. And I don't think that moniker is going to stick for much longer, because I used to be a troop. And just because somebody says they support the troops, but we hate everything else that they're doing, that's not really supporting the troops. And I can tell you firsthand that's not the way they're going to take it. When you support the troops, you have a civil dialogue about what's happening. Sure, there's nothing wrong with bringing out differences, but don't think that you can sit there and say all these things that are happening and Abu Ghraib because the soldiers did this, and that's where they really screwed up, and they killed civilians, and the Bush administration, this war is worthless, and it's a huge mistake, and we're betraying the country, but we support the troops. Well, as a troop, and come on, put yourself in their shoes, you know that they're not going to feel good about that. So I just implore you, when you put that moniker on, but we support the troops, listen to what you say beforehand.
Well, wait a minute. Hold up, Joe. First of all, when we talk about... Well, no, hold on. We let you talk for a good stretch now, 5 minutes, all right? Let me take what you said point by point. First, George W. Bush has talked about cutting back support to the troops, financial support to the troops, specifically hazardous duty pay. You know about that, right?
If you brought up the points,
how can you not want to go point by point? You laid out a point by point agenda.
I'm going to get off the phone, but I'll let you guys do it as I leave.
I'm
not interested in arguing with you. I just want to make those points. So take my points on the, I'm going to listen to the radio now and do what you have to say.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Joe. What he's saying is that it wouldn't have happened. Well, he's saying that what we do is we say that none of this would have happened in Iraq if it weren't for George Bush's unilateral decision to go in there with very little help from the international community. And then the truth of the matter is that there was no real connection between Iraq and terrorism. And now not even Dick Cheney is saying that anymore.
No.
If you notice one thing about that speech yesterday is that there was none of that sort of Al-Qaeda and Iraq link because no one wants to buy that anymore. And the truth of the matter is that the insurgency is as powerful as it is now, and it is as diverse as it is now, specifically because George Bush sent troops into Iraq on the premise of weapons of mass destruction and a supposed threat to this country in the immediate sense, and that was not true. That was a lie. And the truth of the matter is that these terrorists would not be in Iraq, and Iraq would not be in the condition that it is in right now if it weren't for George Bush's actions. Whether or not democracy will prevail in Iraq is something to be, you know, yet to be seen. And as I said before, there are some things that they are doing in relation to their destruction of Iraq and the rebuilding of Iraq after they destroyed it that is good for the Iraqi people. But clearly, there is a lot of terrorist activity and a lot of nationalist activity. As you said, Mark, there's a lot of people in Iraq that don't believe that this is a real government. And there are a lot of terrorists that are now using Iraq as a main place for operations because of the actions we took there. So, you know, obviously we don't want to, you know, see any Americans harmed. We don't want, you know, and we do support the troops as much as, you know, we can support
the
troops.
Well, see, I reject the idea that you have to support the president in order to support
the
troops.
That seemed
to be the central part of what he's saying, is that if you don't support the president, you're not supporting troops. I reject that utterly and totally.
I think he's saying that, you know, in light of everything else that we say here, that we saying that we support the troops seems disingenuous. And I don't think that's true. I think that a lot of times the troops don't know what they're getting into for the reasons they're getting into it. And we've actually talked to military people on here that are, you know, appalled with this president and his sending them into harm's way for a lie. And, you know, there are plenty of those people, too. We'll be back on Air America Radio in just a second. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
The oil-rich country of Azerbaijan is a brutal dictatorship. But when the Bush administration had to decide between promoting democracy and protecting the interests of Western oil companies, guess which one it chose? Get the full report now in this month's Mother Jones magazine. Mother Jones is an independent, non-profit news magazine. Its reporters dare to ask important questions. They dare to print what others hide. As a non-profit, they're obligated only to the truth. Mother Jones. Strange name for a magazine, but check it out. See what you think on Newsstands Now.
He's been around for more than 400 million years. He'll go through 20,000 teeth in his lifetime. He can grow up to 45 feet long and weigh 30,000 pounds. And he can go 3 months without eating. But then he's going to be really, really hungry. No, it's not your brother-in-law. It's a shark, silly. It's Shark Week on Sirius Discovery Channel Radio, 135.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like, people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. I mean, personally, I want the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
What's going on? Yeah, so we shouldn't let that guy talk so long and then address it like we did. We should just kicked his butt on the radio.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah. Well, you got started on it, but then he kept filibustering, and then he, you know, and then it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
you handled it
but
well.
That's not good radio.
No, but it came off very well. You handled it well, and then we addressed it afterwards, but, you know, we probably should have taken him off a little sooner.
Well,
he was trying to be civil. And then he threw in the extra added, you know, I was in the military, and then it's like, oh, well.
I'm just not into that you guys are haters thing, you know.
We're definitely not haters. I'm not feeling any hate. I feel contempt for our president. And,
yes.
And I feel contempt for the lies and the misleading that he does with his administration. Yes, I know, Jonathan. I know he's standing there. I know.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Mike. Dateline, Washington, July 28th. The unrelenting war on brains continues. Obfuscation, mendacity, deception, such are the ingredients of the new $5.6 billion bioterrorism bill just signed into law with crayon by His Honorable Reich Marshal George W. Bush. Deep within the bill's heaving murky bowels lurks a little-noticed provision, busily sucking at the very teat of stupidity. The provision? To increase federal money for bioresearch facilities. by taking money away from other bioresearch facilities? Shameful, ignominious, and just not very smart. Just like robbing Peter to pay Paul, then robbing Paul to pay Peter, then robbing Peter, Paul, and Mary. And before you know it, your hard-earned tax dollars are blowing in the wind, leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when they'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Puff the magic dragon lived by the...
Mort, what are you doing, man?
I'm high as a kite, Mark. Even Mort Milfinson has to take the edge off sometimes. These stories can get really depressing. Anyway, the struggle continues, freedom fighters. Read, write, and that's today's dispatch from...
The War on Brains.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mort. Appreciate it. Always good to have the, I love that one.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I do. And he called you Mike, which was the best part.
Oh, I didn't even notice it. I'm so preoccupied now with the contempt.
What, my, contempt for us?
My free-floating contempt.
Oh, your contempt?
My free-floating contempt.
For the president?
For Tucker Carlson.
Oh, him.
For well, Robert Novak.
Why waste your contempt?
Exactly.
These people are beneath contempt.
Oh, man. You're absolutely right.
Because, and see, I wanted to clarify something for that last call.
Wait, this is the best part. You know, when the shark gets on, you know, he's about to... Oh man. Why did I just watch The Road?
Hate doesn't win you anything. See, I like to win. I don't like to hate. I like to win.
Yeah.
I like to beat somebody at something.
Yeah.
I have a competitive streak in me. And that's why I found over my short life... That, you know, hate doesn't help you beat anybody. It really doesn't. I mean, it might fuel your desire to beat somebody, but it doesn't practically help you to do anything.
Anger is also not necessarily hate, but anger doesn't really help you either. You got to keep your top on. You got to keep your cool.
Oh, yeah.
Or else
you're
just going to look like the guy who's sitting there getting all red in the face, blasting away, and, you know, it's easy to look like just an idiot.
Yeah. Well, you could be that, you know, that boiling cauldron of
evil. I've been that guy. To
me
where you're not even winning the argument. You're just the guy yelling. And you think you're, like, making a really great point. But everyone in the room is just like, wow, it's really sad.
Mm.
Look how worked up he is. Look what we did to the man.
Well, see, my problem's been different. From the time I was a little kid, my parents knew that my mouth would somehow get my behind in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I used to just say stuff.
Yeah.
And... as I got older, my parents sort of, my mother in particular, because she believed in spare the rod and spoil the child, I would get my behind whipped a lot in an effort to keep me from saying stuff that would either hurt people's feelings or be misinterpreted or whatever. So I try not to do that anymore. But every now and then I get around people, like Marc Maron, for example.
Yes.
And sometimes it just comes through. Like, you know, you know, because you've seen me like this before, where you get to a point where you're like, hey, come on, let's go, let's do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't always like to be like that because I figure it's not good for a long, you know, for a long life.
I generally just like to do it with Jonathan Larson, our producer. That's who I like to do it with.
Okay.
That, when I get on.
Well, my prediction is he'll be in here in a minute, so you can do it then.
Okay, cool.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, new poll numbers for Bush, Recovery Corner, journalist E.J. Dionne, and more here on Air America Radio.
Can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can crush a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Old way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former First Lady Nancy Reagan has just said no one more time. This time she turned down an invitation to make a cameo on stage following a video tribute to her revered late Republican husband, former President Ronald Reagan, at the GOP convention in a couple of weeks in New York. Republican strategists have been hopeful she would join the old party. This after her son, Ron Reagan, upstaged the party last night with an appearance at the Democratic National Convention to promote stem cell research. Reagan described his appearance as non-political, but all the signs were there with continued subtle criticism of the Bush White House for not supporting all forms of the research, and also urging Democratic delegates to vote for stem cell research in the fall. Ron Reagan has already said in several broadcast interviews that he supports Democrat John Kerry's candidacy. Meanwhile, prominent Republicans are questioning why Nancy Reagan is going to be a no-show at the GOP convention. Some are saying she is still grieving the recent loss of her husband, but others are saying they are quite surprised that the 83-year-old has decided to stick this one out. Bush, Cheney, and Republican campaign strategists were eager to have Nancy Reagan appear long before her husband's death. Vice President Dick Cheney is accentuating the positive these days, expressing confidence of winning a second term. Cheney took his campaign to the West yesterday, where he responded to Democratic criticism about the war in Iraq and the administration's handling of terrorism.
Terrorist attacks are not caused by the use of strength. They are invited by the perception of weakness.
Cheney made the statement surrounded by howitzers and American flags. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry said he could better handle terrorism and the crisis in Iraq if he was president.
I will and I can fight a more effective war on terror than George Bush is. I will bring other countries to our side.
Democrat John Kerry also called for an extension of the work of the 9/11 Commission in Iraq. Their third-party presidential candidate, Ralph Nader, will be crashing the Democratic Party this evening. Nader is expected to saunter down Broadcast Row for interviews and analysis of the convention. His presence is a sore spot for Democrats, since many have asked him to drop out of the race to avoid a split vote. Alana Wexler is the head of the organization called Kids for Kerry. She addressed the convention last night and talked about Vice President Dick Cheney's recent use of four-letter words on the Senate floor.
When our vice president had a disagreement with a Democratic senator, he used a really bad word. If I said that word, I would be put in a timeout. I think he should be put in a timeout.
Alana Wexler of the organization Kids for Kerry. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Yeah.
Turn it up now.
Okay.
And
I'm Tony Hawk. And I've got a new show called
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear
it. It's going to be action.
Serious 28.
It's skateboarding. It's music. It's action. It's funny. It's not boring.
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Exclusively.
On Sirius.
Backstreet
28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Lori is a military wife and wants to know if they should buy a home. My advice next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Lori's husband is in the military, so they move often. She emails wanting to know if they should buy a home. We know that for the next 10 or so years, we will move about once every 2 years. Should we wait to buy a home until his military retirement? Yes, is a good answer. And here's why. Very few areas of the country go up enough in value on real estate to where you don't lose money by staying in the home only 2 years. In other words, if you own it 2 years, it doesn't go up enough to keep you from losing money by the time you buy and sell. Plus, the economy may be slow at the particular time you're trying to sell. Interest rates may be a little up. It makes it hard to sell. Then you may end up with a rental property long distance, which is not a plan. And so there's always lots of homes on the market around military bases, which keeps it from appreciating as much as it might in some other areas. I'm all about owning real estate, but I'm not all about it owning you, and this is a good way for it to end up owning you.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
No, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with you.
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. It's morning sedition on Air America Radio. It's Wednesday morning. We're having a day. What a great speech by Obama last night.
Barack Obama.
Amazing. Barack Obama kicked some ass. Started out slow, kind of eased into it, and then pow! Big closer. Big closer. Here's some good news. We just got the what horrendous.
That's the New York Daily News.
Yeah, the New York Daily News, which matches
what a horrendous rag was that?
Which matches my mug of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. But listen to this. So Ronald Reagan Jr. speaks last night. Tough act to follow. He like goes right after
Barack Obama.
You know what I mean? It's like I actually looked at him. I said, "What are you even doing here?"
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's kind of interesting. You feel like we've won some turf on some level by having a Reagan there, and you know what I mean. We co-opted a Reagan.
Yeah.
But
his thunder got taken. But you know what?
After Obama, I was like, you know what? We don't need.
He should have asked for an intermission.
He should have asked for something. But you know what? He didn't. He didn't even say anything about anything other than stem cells and that it really needs to happen. But the good news is this is better than Ron Reagan Jr. showing up at the Democratic convention is that Nancy Reagan said, you know what, I'm not going to do it, not going to the Republican convention.
Yeah.
They can't even get the contact buzz off of his widow. You know, I mean, Bush did everything he could to, you know, to latch himself onto the corpse of the dead Reagan. But now the living Reagans are like, you know what, dude, you're not our guy.
You know what's amazing?
You don't represent our husband, our father. You don't represent his legacy. You're a completely new kind of freak.
She wouldn't have even had to have said a word. She wouldn't have had to go up on stage and say anything. Yeah. All she'd have to do was be there, walk up, wave, and keep stepping. That does indicate that she's got a very serious problem with George W. Bush, and maybe even with trying to cop that legacy. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, the truth of the matter is that anybody who sees this president, even me, who I didn't like Ronald Reagan, but clearly. There's nothing like Ronald Reagan. He really isn't.
No.
You know, he tries to model himself off of Reagan. He's got a lot of guys who work for Reagan in his cabinet, but this guy is nothing like Ronald Reagan, and clearly that's the case because Nancy's like, if anyone's going to decide that, it's going to be her. Believe me, if she thought that he represented her husband's legacy, she would definitely be the first to jump on board there.
Well, one of the things I think that Ronald Reagan did a little differently than George W. Bush is he really does it. Ronald Reagan did not try and convince the American people that, you know, red was blue or green was purple. George W. Bush has spent the last year since over a year now, since the invasion of Iraq, trying to convince people of stuff that they know in their heart isn't true. The war, the economy, they're trying to convince people that things are getting better. And bottom line, as Bill Clinton pointed out on Monday, things are getting better for people who are making a great deal of money. They're the ones that are getting the rebates, the $5,000, $10,000 rebates, whatever. But it's starting to show in George W. Bush's presidential ratings. From May 20th till July 19th, the 14th quarter of George W. Bush's presidency, he averaged a 47.9% approval rating, the lowest quarterly average approval rating of his presidency. That included his 12-term low individual rating of 46% in May 7th to 9th. It looks as though his numbers have gone up ever so slightly since then, but still.
They're still lower than the last two incumbents, right?
Yes, and Americans remain anxious about the economy and unhappy about what's going on in Iraq. And, of course, there's the possibility that 1,000, and I, you know, you really hate to predict any of this, but the possibility is that there'll be 1,000 people died in Iraq, 1,000 American troops died in Iraq before the November elections.
There was some Russian paper last week or a couple of days ago that said that like 2,000 Americans had died in Iraq, not necessarily soldiers, but of all kinds. It's not verified or anything, but I yeah. wonder what the real numbers are, including, you know, contractors, including civilians, including, you know, medical workers.
Yeah. And I mean, never mind how many Iraqis it is. Americans don't know how many Iraqis have
tens
died.
Tens of thousands.
At least 15, yep. 18, somewhere yep. in that general area. And yet we have no idea. 51 blown up in this suicide bombing the other day. And again, the caller that called before the hour may not think that America has anything to do with that, and that if Saddam Hussein was still in charge of Iraq, people would still be blowing up police stations. I don't know. Maybe we'd have never heard about it had Saddam stayed, or maybe had we tried to plant the seeds of democracy in a different fashion than actually going to war.
Yeah, but it's not even, I don't even know if that's the issue for me. I mean, for me, the issue was is that we went to war on false pretense,
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, the place is a disaster area. So, you know, whatever management needs to be done in terms of the troops and America's presence there, how many people, you know, get killed, I mean, that none of that would have happened. You know, and,
yeah.
and the truth of the matter is that it wasn't an impending threat. It wasn't a security issue. You know, this was something the neocons had planned, you know, in 95, for
yeah.
God's sakes.
Yeah, they had planned it. And at the same time, by the way, that Americans are worried about Iraq, worried about the economy, that the deficit has reached $420 billion.
Can you believe that?
That's incredible.
I don't even know if that's a lot or a little, but it's
a lot, trust me.
You know what I mean? It's like $420 billion. When you're talking about billions of dollars, I mean, what's a billionaire, what's a billionaire? But that's a big number in any way you look at it. But they even try to spin that, though. They try and make it seem like it's like, hey, it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. We
yeah,
could
I
be
guess
completely,
so.
Totally broke and owe everyone on the planet. That's how it could be worse.
We were talking to Robert Reich about that yesterday, about the money we borrow from Asian banks.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the economy thing. Boy, man, I barely have a grasp on basic political ideas. The economy, I am clueless. All I know is I get a paycheck, I got a little money in the pocket, you know what I mean? I can buy some guitar picks.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's what, I don't know about the guitar picks part, but most Americans, they want to feed their kids, they want to pay their rent, pay their mortgage, whatever. They want to be able to get their kids properly educated, and they want to be able to vacation where they choose every now and then. They want to be able to go to the supermarket, buy enough groceries.
Yeah, have a life, have some health insurance.
But at this point, a lot of this stuff is being threatened. You know, one of the things that Barack Obama talked about last night that really, I think, kind of shone through was that he's gone out in Illinois and talked to people who have just lost their jobs, who are you know, in a situation where, and they asked him at one point, aren't you nervous about going out and, you know, speaking before the Democratic Convention? He said, no.
Yeah.
He said, the bottom line is, it's a lot more nerve-wracking for somebody to find out today that they don't have a job anymore.
Right.
That's nerve-wracking,
right.
Not speaking before this convention.
As I said earlier, after watching Obama last night and being uplifted.
Absolutely uplifted.
And reveling in his message, I was, you know, very grateful I had a job.
Yeah.
Very grateful to have some health coverage. I mean, you know, even in this game, you know what I mean? It's like going from job to job. I mean, I've done jobs I didn't want to do specifically to get my insurance. I've done jobs that I didn't feel were right for me just to, you know, make sure that I had basic health coverage and enough to eat. I mean, it's you know, it's the same at any level.
It's incredible.
Some people think the glamorous life of a radio personality, you know, it's just, you know, driving in limos, hanging out with stars.
Sure.
Not on Morning Sedition. Because
no.
As you'll know, there was no, we don't have any limos up in the Fleet Center at the Democratic National Convention. It's
no.
Me and the Russian guy that drives in here.
And we're starless. We never have any stars on here.
We did a while ago. Yeah, we've had a couple stars.
We had Will Ferrell. He was a star banker, man.
Tim Robbins. But we have political stars. We have writers. We have thinkers. I'm not putting down our show. I'm very proud of our show. We have a good time on the show. We have a lot of dedicated listeners. What I'm saying is we're in New York.
Yeah. And they're in Boston.
I'm covering the convention from my couch. You know, but not. But then again, as we talked about before, I'm happy to be in New York. What would we be doing up there in the middle of the morning anyways?
Trying to clear security.
Right,
that's
trying
what
to clear
be
security.
Doing.
We'd, you know, we'd have all our little, you know, we'd have our little headphones and our mic packs.
And you know what happened? They say, sirs, the two of you, could you step over here to this tent, over the special security tent, please?
Go over into the free speech zone.
And get ready to take off your shoes.
Can you believe what has happened to public dissent in this country? Can you even believe what they're doing? Is that they don't allow people to speak out wherever? What happened to storming the gates? Do you know what I mean? What happened to real public dissent? What happened to that?
Not happening. Right
to congregate. Well, you can, you know, in another state behind a chain link fence with barbed wire. That's the protest area.
Yeah.
How demeaning and humiliating is that to want your voice to be heard, but you got to stand away from the place where you will be heard in a pen like an animal or a prisoner or somebody who doesn't have the right to talk. This is a tremendous liability of the new security state and also of the way cities are managing their people.
But you know, these conventions have had this kind of thing, and the New York Police Department has been involved in this for a little while now, kind of fencing people off, kind of containing protests within certain parameters. Yeah, because, you know, there was such a history across this country of protests, quote, getting out of hand, where police have had to contain demonstrators. You know what was one of the pivotal points here was Seattle.
Yeah,
with the
World Bank.
The WTO, the World WTO, Trade Organization. Yeah. And you know, people went up there and really trashed the place.
Well, they were trashing specific targets, McDonald's, the Nike store. They were trashing corporate outlets.
But see, what happened with Seattle and what made it so significant was suddenly law enforcement looked up and said, you know what? These people are organized in ways that we are no longer able to keep track of because half of them didn't have computers, so they don't know that all these people are conversing on the internet and making plans to converge here and do this and that. They had no idea about any of that.
They had to go, we better go find those baby blue helmets and that tear gas because we got a problem again, kids.
Yeah. And suddenly law enforcement was confronted with an amorphous group of protesters that they had no way to infiltrate and no way whatsoever to control.
Well, we're going to be back with E.J. Dion and much more stuff here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'm Tony Hawk. And I've got a
new show called
Tony Hawk.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, you can hear
it. It's going to be on Faction.
Sirius 28.
It's skateboarding, it's music, it's action, it's funny, it's not boring.
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday,
every 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively
on Sirius
Faction
28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Trey, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence.
Get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
My heart is low.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, you guys, it's Morning Sedition with Mark Maron, who would be me, and with Mark Riley, who would
That's
be
me.
Mark. He's over there. We're hanging out. We're doing the thing. I got the presidential palm pilot here from my buddy Ramon in the Oval Office. Here's the president's schedule for today. 9 o'clock a.m., wake up in Crawford. Ah, another day off. This is like the first 6 months of my presidency. 10 a.m., watch Ted Kennedy's speech on TiVo. How many Kennedys are there? One family shouldn't be allowed to dominate national politics like that. 11 a.m., watch Ron Reagan Jr.'s speech on TiVo. Hey, I just read that one. Did I? No. Right. 11 a.m., watch Ron Reagan Jr.'s speech on TiVo. How many Reagans are there? And me with no male heirs that I can admit to. Womp, womp. 12 noon, ask staff what a Barack Obama is and can it get through airport security. 1 p.m., appoint Blue Ribbon panel to find out why the 9/11 report doesn't have any illustrations, connect the dots, or foldouts. 3 p.m., sit on the porch with a lemonade and wait for the rapture. 3:10 p.m., well, guess he's not coming today. More time for video golf. 9:30 p.m., watch John Edwards' speech at Democratic Convention. He's good. I'm going to need a good trial lawyer when I get impeached. 11:10 p.m., bedtime, listen to Singing Jackalope. Think happy thought headline. Quote, Edwards horribly disfigured in bike accident. No longer beautiful, voters say. There you go. Joining us now from the Boston, from Boston, Massachusetts, where he is covering the Democratic National Convention for, you know, for the Washington Post, where we're doing it from our couch here.
Yeah.
This is E.J. Dionne. He is also the author of a new book called Stand Up and Fight Back, Republican Toughs, Democratic Wimps, and the Politics of Revenge. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you.
Hey, what did you think of Barack Obama last night? Kick some butt, right?
Barack Obama is an amazing politician, amazing speaker. There were three people in politics I've met where when I met them, immediately I knew these guys were growing places. The first, oddly, I hope this is forgivable for your listeners, it was Newt Gingrich. The second one was Bill Clinton, and the third one was Barack Obama.
Well, you didn't say going good places or bad places.
going places for sure.
Yeah.
That was right
places.
On the first tip.
Yeah.
And there's just a special gift to this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has a compelling personal story and all that, but there's just something very special about him.
Yeah. So how do you think the theme of the convention is coming along? You know, I read some of your book last night, and you seem to think that they need to solidify a little more. How do you think that's coming along?
Well, I think the most powerful theme that's come through in every one of the speeches is this theme of division in the country and the fact. You know, Bill Clinton in his speech said it, you know, they need to divide America. We don't. Ted Kennedy talked about division. And Obama in his speech had those wonderful riffs about, you know, we're not the liberal states of America, the conservative states. We're the United States of America. And then the whole thing about red states and blue states, I think they're setting up a situation where if and when the Republicans do sort of try to run on divisive social issues or so-called values issues, they're going to be set up to say, wait a minute, this is their sort of game of division all over again. And I think that is one thing that's coming out of this convention.
Let's listen to that Barack Obama soundbite for our audience that may not have heard it and maybe get your reaction to it, E.J. Dionne. Here's
Even as
Barack
we
Obama.
Speak, there are those who are preparing to divide us, the spin masters, the negative ad peddlers, who embrace the politics of anything goes. Well, I say to them tonight, there is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America. The pundits The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats. But I've got news for them, too. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states. We coach Little League in the blue states, and yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states. There are patriots who oppose the war in Iraq, and there are patriots who supported the war in Iraq. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes, all of us defending the United States of America.
Wow, I get every time I hear that, I still get an Obama buzz. Don't you?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, how do the Republicans counter this? My guess is that when it comes time for their convention, they're going to have to go negative. I can't see if the Democrats maintain this level of unity throughout tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow, when it comes to the Republicans' turn, it seems to me they're going to have to go negative.
I think so, too. I mean, I think that if you look at their campaign so far, they have clearly made a calculation that President Bush is unlikely to rise to sort of the heights that Ronald Reagan was in 1984 so that he could run a Morning in America positive campaign.
He can't even get Reagan's wife to show up for the convention, apparently.
Yeah.
And the son, of course, was on the other side.
Exactly.
Whoever thought that millions of Democrats would be cheering Ronald Reagan. And so I think they know that there are a lot of voters, especially in the middle, ready to kind of cross over to Kerry because they want to throw Bush out of office. But there's something holding a lot of those voters back, and Republicans want to reinforce that, if you will. They want to build a wall between Kerry and voters who would like to fire Bush.
Yeah,
and I think that's the whole dynamic of the election. So they will have to go negative, and so that's why I think all of this preparation at this Democratic convention could turn out to be very effective, because they're laying the predicate, whether it's fair or not, that every attack on any of these issues is really part of this effort to divide America.
So you think that then the policy of no Bush bashing during the convention was effective?
Well, I don't think there has been a policy of no Bush bashing. I mean, you know, Obama was tough on him. Bill Clinton was pretty tough on him. It's all up the question of how you do it. I mean, to criticize President Bush does not make everybody into Michael Moore. You know, I think this was a very smart thing the Republicans did, which is to try to set up criticism, which is, after all, the case you've got to make. If you're a Democrat, you've got to say Bush has to be thrown out of office because you've got to answer that
question.
Right,
but it wasn't petty. There was no petty, you know, shot. They were all. I found the intelligence of the convention so far was very high, and the sort of in embracing diversity was definitely very high.
Oh, I agree. I ran into Frank Luntz, you know, the Republican pollster last night, who said that the first night of the convention was, in his view, the best orchestrated convention he had seen. He said that all the themes were themes that could reach the Democratic base, but also reach across to other voters, to swing voters.
Yeah, E.J. Dionne, can you stay with us over a break, and we'll talk to you in a minute?
Sure.
Great. We'll be right back with you, sir.
All right, and much, much more. Recovery Corner, The Liberal Agenda, here on Air America Radio. Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The pressure is on for President Bush to do something, and something quick, about enacting some of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. Speculation was strong that Bush would try to steal some thunder this week from the Democrats by announcing changes in the administration policy on the issue, but Democrat John Kerry beat the clock by announcing yesterday that Bush ought to extend the panel's work by 18 months. Today is day three of the Democratic National Convention in Boston. The party faithful will hear from Democratic Vice Presidential nominee apparent John Edwards and one-time presidential candidate and veteran New York activist, the Reverend Al Sharpton, in a primetime address. Associated Press says the war in Iraq is weighing down President Bush's ability to boost his poll numbers, and former First Lady Nancy Reagan just said no to President Bush for an appearance at the upcoming GOP convention in New York. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Convention's on, and the fight's just beginning.
You call yourself a bunch of
pugilists, you rhetorical Rottweiler?
Catch full live coverage on Sirius Left, Right, Patriot, and Outkick. The DNC's on Sirius.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ron wonders if he should sell his car to help with a down payment for a home. My advice next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Ron sell his car to help with his house down payment?
Crushing deals with my wife and I considering purchasing a home. We could sell a vehicle we own to come up with a bigger down payment.
Is it an extra vehicle?
Yes, it is extra.
Okay. Why do you have it?
Want and desire. I don't know. We just
What is it?
It's a 03 GMC minivan.
And your household income's what?
33.
All right. And the 03 is paid for?
Yes.
And it's worth what?
22.5.
Regardless of what you do with the money, I would sell it. I am positive it's very difficult to build wealth when you have over half your annual income tied up in things that are going down in value like a rock. So that's a bad use of your income. I'm not against you having a nice car. I'm against a nice car having you. And in this case, you're talking about, should I use that for a down payment on a house? Absolutely, because the house is going to go up.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
We're talking to Washington Post columnist E.J. Dionne. You know, I was saying that, you know, I think it's important, obviously, to be critical of the president. I think many of the speeches, you know, were critical in an intelligent way and not just a petty way, which is good, because I think that's what the Republicans do, and I think they got nothing. What are they going to come back with? I really don't think they have anything.
Well, I think, you know, Bill Sapphire of the New York Times had a column today saying that this morning, talking about Kerry waffling or straddling, I guess was his word, on some social issues. He talked about gay marriage and abortion. I think that we've seen the basic outlines of a Republican campaign. The Republican campaign is going to be that John Kerry is vacillating, weak, and just not strong enough to defend us in a time of terror. And I think in many different ways, and the flip-flop charge is just one of those, that's what they're going to do. And it was interesting yesterday to see Kerry come back and say it was Bush that was flip-flopping on the 9/11 Commission report recommendations.
Yeah, important point. Now, you know, Theresa Hines Kerry, his wife spoke last night, gave a pretty mellow speech. Do you think that her outspokenness, or put it this way, the media's coverage of some of her outspokenness, speaks to in any way to sexism, or is she just getting her just desserts?
Oh, well, first of all, I think on her part it was very clever to say that those who criticized her outspokenness were really kind of putting down all other women because that'll raise the cost of attacking her. And so I think it was a classic, clever political move. And there is something to that. I mean, I think there is something to what she said. I think we do apply double standards in this case.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing she did that was really striking is here is a first lady who would have an accent. And she tried to turn that accent into an asset, first at the beginning of the speech, by speaking more languages in one convention speech than I have ever heard at most conventions.
How many was it? I couldn't even figure it out.
Was it four?
It was Portuguese, French, Italian, and I'm missing one. I'm trying to remember. And then sort of turning her story into the immigrant story. The Latino vote is very important. There are a lot of immigrant Latinos who are now citizens, so I think that she's again trying to turn that around and also say, look, if you make fun of my accent, well, you're making fun of your grandparents or great-grandparents.
So,
and so I thought that was fairly effective, too.
No, definitely. So Clinton's on board with the Kerry campaign in a pretty big way, I guess, and I think that's a great thing. Do you think by embracing Clinton that Kerry risks being overshadowed by him?
No. Well, first of all, I guess at some point anybody who gets up on a platform and speaks risks being overshadowed by him. That's the same is true, by the way, if you're trying to sell a political book like me while the Bill Clinton book is out there. That's a chance you just got to take.
By the way, what's the name of that book again?
Stand Up, Fight Back. I was actually on my way to a store in a bookstore a couple of weeks back in California, and I was afraid I was going to be a little late, so I called up the bookstore, and the message begins, due to the high level of interest in, and of course a big smile is on my face because my event is about to happen, and then the next line is, Bill Clinton's visit next week, we're not answering our telephone.
<That's>
But they turned out a nice crowd, right?
But I've seen John Kerry speak for a full 20 minutes, and he's great. I mean, he's just a different groove, and I think that's one thing I'm seeing in this convention is everybody sort of owning their own turf.
Well, the beauty for Kerry is that it's the same thing happened to George W. Bush in 2000. I mean, people are talking in such a way that they expect a babbling idiot or a completely boring, physics or a biology professor, no offense to physics or biology professors, to get up on stage on Thursday, and he is better than that. And he can be good. The thing I've seen him best at is in crowds with a lot of people throwing questions at him. During the primaries, I saw him in a little town called Somersworth, New Hampshire, up on the main border, and he just let everybody ask everything they wanted. And that's the setting in which he shines. Of course, this is a very different setting he's going to face on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I find the delegates here are like baseball fans. They're rooting for the guy.
Okay.
Not that they're 100% sure that he's going to do it. This is Boston, after all, with our Red Sox. But they just want him to hit the home run on Thursday. It's a very interesting psychology.
If you were advising John Kerry on what themes he needs to hit tomorrow night, what would you be telling him?
Well, I think the themes of the convention are pretty well clear. I think Obama's speech really captured him. First, this whole notion of division, I think we're going to hear again. Second, it is important that he kind of defined the post 9/11 era in his own way. And yes, he has to show strength. I mean, my Lord, how many times have we heard the word strong in the last couple of days already?
Yeah.
He's got to do that. He's got to sort of reassure. He's got to be, I hate to use the word because it's now a cliche, but he's got to make people like him enough. I mean, I keep running in, as I said earlier, to these Republicans or moderate independents who say, I really can't vote for Bush, but I can't warm up to Kerry. And so I think he's got to do that. And I think he's got to remember that a lot of these swing voters are sort of middle to lower income working class voters who, in most cases, if they're swing voters, white voters, who have some real economic anxieties. And he's got to figure out a way to do a kind of plausible populism, and I think he might use some of the good lines that his running mate John Edwards used in the primaries.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, E.J. Dionne. It's very nice having you here.
We appreciate
great to be with you.
Take care. The book is Stand Up, Fight Back, Republican Toughs, Democratic Wimps, and the Politics of Revenge. Call us, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. And we'll put you on the phone. Oh, looks like we got Chuck D after we come back, so hang on.
Whoa!
The Wall Street Journal describes him as the biggest star in the music world.
The
San Francisco Chronicle considers him to be the most compelling music icon of his generation. And Sirius Satellite Radio says, well, Sirius says, we got
Eminem. Multi-platinum recording artist Eminem, along with Shady and Interscope Records, are coming to Sirius. Catch one of the most controversial rappers of our time as he brings the streets to Satellite.
Uncensored.
Coming this fall.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Playing the guitar, going to a museum, watching a movie, eating French fries. Do you know what these things all have in common? When you do them with kids, you're helping to prevent crime. So spend time, anytime, with kids. You'll help keep them away from crime and help prevent crime in your community. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT. That's 1-800-WE-PREVENT.
Here we are at the counter-propaganda station, Air America Radio.
Is that what we are?
This morning's edition of Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley there.
Hey!
Did I mention I'm an alcoholic?
Hi, Mark!
Thank you. And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering my counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. So, listen, buddy, having a good time kicking back in Crawford, taking it easy, no responsibilities. You and I got one thing in common, George. Neither of us is at the Democratic Convention this week. But I'm still working, all right? Not riding my bike around running into things. The way I see it, there are two types of people who isolate themselves. Those who are going into a meditative, introspective retreat, and those who are hiding. You're a hider, buddy. Always have been. The minute anything goes wrong, it's like, where's George? He was here a minute ago when nothing was at stake. Now, don't get me wrong, people don't miss you exactly, but they do miss the idea of someone actually dealing with the country's problems. What do you think of that? And you can't deal with them in Crawford. You got it, pal? In fact, I don't even consider Crawford part of America, and neither does Crawford, but that's a whole other problem. Get back to Washington and do your job and stop isolating, because we will find you. Remember, keep the plug in the jug, bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back, worry is looking forward. If you got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in today, you're peeing. If you got one foot in yesterday, one foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. That's it. Yeah. Chuck D, who is actually in Boston at the Democratic National Convention. We're in New York, so Chuck's going to tell us what's going on up there. How you doing, Chuck?
Yo, Chuck.
How you doing, Marcus?
Pretty good, pretty good.
What?
He's breaking up.
Uh-oh, yeah, we're kind of losing him on the cell. Are you in the Fleet Center, Chuck?
Yeah, you guys hear me? I'm going through tunnels.
Oh, that might be the problem.
I'm going to tunnel to myself and David Bender, you know, who we were talking about the last couple of days, but took the wrong turn over the Tobin Bridge and took me into East Boston. So,
so now you're getting
into the police. But how you guys doing?
You're taking the involuntary tour of the Boston area.
There you go.
No question.
Chuck, let me ask you, first of all, how bad is security up there?
Security, surprisingly, is you know, they got their act together, and it's not crazy as one would think.
Oh, that's good.
You know, they got it well organized, and, you know, I think when the Republicans have their convention in New York, I think that's going to be the crazy thing. Boston's not a congested city, although they're always working on a road and never completing it.
Yeah, I know. They'll be working on that big dig for, what, another century or so?
Yeah, exactly.
I think when they do the convention here, we're going to have to do it from Boston because the security is going to be so tight.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Now, Chuck, let me ask you this. Barack Obama electrified that crowd last night. I kind of got the impression from this convention compared to the one 4 years ago that there's a changing of the guard among, black Democrats. It seems like they're moving away from perhaps the civil rights paradigm of the black Democratic Party over to a more elected kind of paradigm. You're hearing more from people like Harold Ford and Greg Meeks and people like Barack Obama. What is it like up there?
They have to. they simply have to. But they got to also, you know, make sure that, and we were talking in the car, that they don't LeBron James, so to speak, you know, Obama, because, you know, you don't want to rush anything too soon. You want to grow the situation and have it ease into something where everybody can understand and to have them grow right. That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah. So what else you been doing up there? Who else you been talking to?
A lot of people on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, usually in the morning when I cover the floor, it's nothing but journalists in there. So.
What time in the morning would that be?
You think about 9:50.
Oh, so there's no reason for us to be up there. We're in the right place.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, it gets it's kind of incestuous where journalists are interviewing journalists.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the best journalist you've had a chance to talk to so far, Chuck?
You be the prettiest one. I ain't lying.
So, were you looking forward to tonight? Who you got tonight?
Last night I watched everything on TV.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And tonight it's debatable whether I will watch on TV or not. But, you know, my thing is catching in the daytime and catching electricity and then catching all the other scenes from afar and from the outskirts, from the peripheral, so to speak.
Do you get a chance to go to the floor, Chuck? Have you been on the floor? Have you had
I've been on the floor, but you know what I want to do? I want to be able to infiltrate some of the right wing guys when they actually cover this, because I mean, I want to see if I can see Bill O'Reilly today. Yes, I saw Chris Matthews yelling at his team on the floor, screaming at him. That was real funny. And I think he looked over me and turned red.
Uh oh.
Hey, do me a favor.
That's what I like. Starting something.
Yeah, all right. Well, then, will you do me a favor? Will you just go over to Tucker Carlson and smack that smug smile off his face and take his bow tie
take
and bring
his
it
bow
back?
Tie, right?
Yeah, will you?
Yeah, and by the way, tell him Mark Maron said he sucks, okay?
Yeah.
To Mark and Mark. Yo, Mark, I saw your name up on the billboard over.
It's Show World?
Yeah,
that's Show World.
It was the old Show World. Yeah, I did a show there last weekend. We did 4 shows. It was pretty fun.
I know. I know that guy.
Next time you come down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Chuck. Great talking to you.
Yeah. So, you know, I better be on in another 12 minutes by damn self.
That's right. No filter coming up in 12 minutes.
That's right. All right. We'll be listening, man. Thanks a lot for calling.
Take care, Chuck.
Right, Chuck D, Unfiltered. Are we taking some more calls? Are we going on a break? What are we doing? Take some calls? This woman has been on the phone for a day. Wendy, how are you?
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Thanks for holding on.
All right. Well, I just want to say I'd like to ban the term bush bashing.
Okay.
I mean, even though it has a real nice alliterative flair, I'm just sick of hearing it because...
He's not a victim.
Exactly.
I get it.
I'm sorry. I would like to hear, you know, maybe we can use it when we start hearing about Carrie bashing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because I just heard that they're showing pictures of Carrie in, you know, an anti-contamination suit like they used to show pictures of Dukakis.
Yeah, he didn't look that bad. He, you know, that's not going to stick. And you're right.
I mean, haven't they learned? Like, can he just say, "What kind of uniform did you wear?" You know, I mean.
Yeah, the flight suit.
The dress up suit. You know, let's dress up and be a pilot.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson tried to do that yesterday. It really pissed me off. He tried to talk about carrying that suit. Thanks for calling, Wendy. She's right, you know, and I forget that. That Bush bashing is really a term that they invented. The other side, the bastards. And that guy accused us of being hateful. We're not hateful. We're critical and we're informed. And the truth of the matter is we shouldn't use Bush bashing because that was a phrase designed to make him look like a victim.
Yeah, it certainly is. And see, what will happen is if we have to react by talking about Kerry bashing, they have the advantage because they coined the phrase first.
I hate Tucker Carlson. I hate him.
See, see. Now we're just trying to say, we don't hate anybody.
I think if he called, I'd yell at him. We're never going to let anyone talk that long again who doesn't like us.
Well, you know what? Chuck D is going to probably deliver your message to Tucker.
Well, Chuck D's going to bring me a bow tie. It's like a scalp. Don't bring me the scalp of Tucker Carlson. Bring me his bow tie. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Do you ever wonder why you seem to pay more in taxes than rich people with smart accountants? Do you ask yourself, what's wrong with our tax system? Well, here's a reality check. Taxes on wages and salaries are much higher than taxes on income from investments. People who are so rich that they don't have to work pay the federal government only a sliver of their dividends and capital gains. By comparison, working people owe a much larger share of their hard-earned income in taxes. Someone who makes $50,000 from working pays more than three times the taxes of someone who makes $50,000 from investments. That is just not fair. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for fixing the tax system so that working Americans get a fair deal. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, weighing in 380 pounds, Senators Kerry and Edwards. And in this corner, weighing in with whatever's on their mind, the current White House champs, George and Dick.
The convention's on. And the fight's just beginning.
You call yourself a bunch of
pugilist, rhetorical Rottweiler?
Catch full live coverage on Sirius Left, Right, Patriot, and Outkick. The DMC's on Sirius.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Show you.
Okay, that's right, with thigh guards. Now, don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in them.
But, Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life, good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We're coming in. We're going to land this thing.
Yes.
I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley over there.
Present.
We've been hanging out, doing the talk. getting the Obama buzz.
Yep.
We got Stephanie on the phone from Brooklyn with some secret information. Stephanie?
What's up, Stephanie?
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
All right. How you doing?
All right. So last night, I'm talking to my neighbor.
Yeah.
He's a Republican, and he works for the court system. He's a court officer, and we fight all the time.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
In that neighborly kind of way.
Yeah.
And he tells me that they got a memo yesterday that during the Republican convention, there's this whole list of crimes they're not going to arrest or prosecute because they need the buses for transporting arrested protesters.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So they're expecting a big protest. They're also making plans to, like, you know, suspend certain criminal activities to prepare for many arrests. They're just going to start carting them off, huh?
Exactly.
What kind of crimes are they going to ignore?
You know what? We were already at a very heated point in the discussion.
do you do this often with your neighbor to get into these heated discussions?
Yes. And so I think, you know, I'm actually turning to you guys to find out just how true it is, and maybe we can find out some details about this.
Well, what we're going to do is this.
Okay, well, let's send our investigator over.
Yeah, Jesse. No, only kidding. We can get a hold of the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, and get it straight from the horse's mouth, because he is, whether you agree with his policies or not, he's a straight shooter. If that's the plan, he will say that's the plan.
Okay, good.
All right.
We'll try and find that out within the next few days. Thanks
yes.
a lot for calling, Stephanie.
Thanks for calling.
Now we've got a task. We've been given an assignment by one of our listeners. I need you guys to find something out. Okay, well, that's what we're here for. We are, Mark,
<That's right.
laughs> I got no time today, but maybe you should go down.
We'll go down to One Police Plaza. We'll figure all of this out. Don't worry.
All right, I'll meet you down there.
All right, well, you know, you might not get in the building. Neither one of us might get in the building at this point.
Yeah, why? Is it crazy then?
Well, I mean, you gotta give your firstborn. You got to put your finger, you got to do a whole fingerprint thing just to get in the door at One Police Plaza.
And, you know, I've got a metal hip.
But you know who can do this for us?
Yeah.
Wayne Gilman, our intrepid newsman.
Wayne, I don't have a metal hip. That's why. Wayne
sure?
can do anything. Wayne's got the secret phone number to everybody. He just like pulls out his magic cell phone and it's like, guess who I'm talking to?
Yeah, right. Who's speaking tonight at the Democratic National Committee?
We got Vice President nominee John Edwards. We got Bob Graham, Dennis Kucinich, Jennifer Granholm.
Yes, she's from Michigan,
O'Malley.
I believe.
Yeah, Greg Meeks.
Yes, Congressman from Queens, one of the early black Democrats to support John Kerry.
And the very frightening Ed Rendell, who they're hoping won't say something that he shouldn't. Al Sharpton, of course, Bill Richardson from my home state, Steve Brozak, Elijah Cummings.
Yeah, from Maryland.
Yeah, Kate Edwards. Elizabeth Edwards, those are the Edwards people, wife and daughter of John Edwards.
Oh, so this is going to be an interesting night tonight, huh?
That was sort of like a quiz. I like doing that. Harry Reid, where's he from, Mark?
Nevada.
Good one. Yeah. Ed Rendell, you know.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania. Bill Richardson.
Yep. New Mexico.
Good.
I know about these. I know that I used to know the capitals of all 50 states.
I used to know all the presidents when I was in third grade.
Uh-oh.
I have no idea what they did.
Got busy.
But I knew their names. Here we go. There's the liberal agenda for today. You're from the Streisand compound. Take these down. One, talking point. Fighting the war on terror is fine, but do we really need the attitude? Two, combine our positive energy to levitate the fleet center. Doing it now. Three, make every vote count and dance and dabble in ceramics. Four, be a delegate from the great state of serenity. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, hear me out on this. There's a hole in the ozone directly over the Florida delegation, end quote. That's it for us. Thank you for being here. Take us out, Mark.
Well, stay tuned for Unfiltered. Rachel is here in the studio. She's part of the B team that is going to be here through the rest of the convention, which, of course, ends tomorrow. But Chuck D and Liz Winstead are, in fact, up in Boston. As you heard, Chuck is on his way to the Fleet Center as we speak.
He's in a tunnel.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we'll have full coverage of tonight's roll call and John Edwards' acceptance speech. And we'll look ahead to John Kerry's big moment with help from our old friends, Congresswoman Corrine Brown and former Ambassador Joe Wilson. That's tomorrow's morning's edition only on Air America Radio. Bye.
Later, Riley.